So you're talking about Law and Order. That's what you're doing. It's like the evidence stick.
Some of those, man, taste like cough drops. Gotcha. Hi, and welcome to another edition of Comedy Go-Go's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we are happy campers, Regan, because we're going to be talking about what today?
Our three topics today are: topic number one, share your worst internet horror story. Hacked, stalked, lost data, interpret it as you will. Worst internet horror story. Topic number two, what racial stereotypes are you guilty of? I'm sure we all have them. And topic number three is, have you had a mean boss? And if so, were you mean back?
Speaking of bosses, we got a boss of Latino comedy. founder Loco Comedy Jam.
You're the boss.
You are the boss.
Apparently.
Friend of Comedia Go-Go and one of the funniest guys I know out of New York City by way of, I don't know, somewhere else, Mike Robles. Mike, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. Yeah. Thanks for that introduction. But be careful about calling me the boss because, you know.
You
might upset poor Rodriguez. That's his title.
He's
a boss. He's the godfather. He's the boss.
He's the Springsteen.
Godfather.
Huh?
He's a godfather.
You're the boss.
You're the boss.
I think we can live with that.
Can we do that? Can we work together?
Yeah, I like that. I like it.
I like it. Right. I like it.
Although I think we got different families now. You know what? I work with Paul. You know, I remember back in the day we did, at that time it was the amphitheater in LA.
Uh huh.
And it was, part of the, Lion Kings of Comedy.
Yeah.
Like when that came out.
Right.
So I got to host that whole show.
Right.
And it was killer, man. 10,000 people. I mean, you're there killing. The stage is vibrating. It's one of those moments, you know. So anyway, long story short, after the show, he invites us up to his house up in the hills, right?
Right.
And, nice guy, man. You know, offering.
What year was this, did you say? Was this pre A Million to One?
I don't know. I never saw the movie, so I don't know why that came out.
They're missing out, man.
But let's just say it had to be when Kings of Comedy came out. Like
All right.
So around that time, and the guy, I don't know if you know, has some of the most oldest tequila that exists in the world.
Is that right?
Wow. Really?
Yeah. So, you know, Medina's there and some other people are there and they're playing pool. But, you know, me being the business guy I am, you know, I'm just picking his brain, you know,
right,
in the kitchen, and we're just sharing stories and he's sharing stories and I'm just listening, you know. Anyway, great time, great night, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe a week later, right? I see him at the Laugh Factory, right? He's like, you know, in the Laugh Factory, I'm standing in the back and he walks in. I go, hey, Paul, what's up? He looks at me, keeps walking. Like you've never, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like you didn't know. Yeah.
Anyway, ever since that time, right? Uh-huh. The guy looks at me and always has a wisecrack. So I don't know if he's bipolar or what the problem is, but it went from like, you know, most.
What did you say to him then?
That's what I'm saying. Nothing. It went from like, what a great evening. It's like tonight. Let's say we're going to have a great evening tonight. Yeah. And next time I see you, Larry, it's like, I look at you like, who are you again? You know, like, you know,
I'm like, my boss, he's a dick.
Yeah. So even the last time we did the Hispanic caucus in Washington, I'm headlining. There's a couple of other comedians. Shayla Rivera's there.
Yeah.
Paul is hosting. He comes in with his little hat, like, hey, you know, the politicians, congressmen, all Latino congressmen are backstage. And,
was Julian Castro?
We're having
there?
A good time. He walks in and everybody just stops and looks at him. Hey, Paul, how you doing? And he fucking skips me.
Jeez.
Like if I wasn't standing there, right? One of the congressmen, I won't tell you his name, right? He goes, gee, that was weird. He goes, do you and Paul have a problem? I don't have a problem. I think his problem is he's bipolar because I don't.
You're just throwing that out there, right?
Yeah, why not? You
know. Well, man,
wow.
Did you have a lot of drinks that night and go crazy and maybe didn't remember saying like you punched him and you don't even remember it?
Did you talk about A Million to One? I mean, because I love that movie.
Were you like me and confused A Million to One to Shrimp on the Barbie? That was a horrible mistake I made before.
Hey, listen, man, if anything, I've always paid him compliments. Yeah. You know, I respect everything he did. So why the, all of a sudden, this like, who are you in the wisecracks? I don't know. But, you know, I give people that passes. Eventually, you know, I probably would have to say something back.
Yeah, that's big of you. Well, you know what? Did you learn that? Because we mentioned him a lot on the podcast, and now we have a closer degree of separation with Deepak Chopra.
Deepak Chopra.
Yeah. You work with him.
My amigo.
Yeah. Now, do you think that's why you didn't tell him anything? Because probably. Of Tupac fucking Tupac, helping?
Deepak.
Deepak.
Yeah, Tupac. Tupac Chopra.
That's Larry's favorite thing to say.
Favorite thing to slip by.
Yeah, nigga, just believe and shit's gonna happen. You know what I'm saying?
Namaste, nigga.
Namaste. Don't know how you spell it, but know how you say it.
Namaste.
Namaste. No holes. No, I don't know.
But okay, so you worked with them and traveled the world with Deepak.
Yeah.
Well, what was that like? Did he teach you to calm down and let Paul Rodriguez be like,
yes, it was the lessons of that. It was Satori that led me to the moment of just breathing in and. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I have. Deepak Chopra is cool. You know, I met Deepak Chopra on MySpace.
No shit.
Wow, that's awesome.
Really?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I met him on MySpace. I don't know if you remember MySpace.
I met a fucking, man, I met my fucking girlfriend on MySpace.
That's right, you did.
Wow. Yeah. Who needs a fucking legend in hip hop and
yeah, and I meet my life and my source of energy.
The legend of hip hop.
Yeah,
Tupac Chopra.
No, not hip hop. Deepak, not Tupac.
Oh, sorry.
That was amazing. But back in the day, you remember MySpace?
Yeah.
I met him on Tinder.
Yeah.
No, you met Six-Pack Chopra.
Six-Pack Chopra on Tinder. No, but you met him on MySpace.
I met him on MySpace. And I don't know, his file, you know, I just finished reading one of his books, you know. And
he had a MySpace. I guess everybody has Facebooks and Twitters these days.
Everybody
does. Well, anyway, I saw a MySpace file. It said Deepak Chopra, right? And I said, damn, this is weird. I said, this is like... I just finished reading his book. I wonder if it's him. You know what
right.
I mean? I'm checking out the profile, right? And I'm one of these believers that don't be afraid to ask.
Yeah, totally.
The worst thing that happens is people say no, right?
Right? I'm with you,
So I check it out. So I sent him a message on MySpace, right? And I said, hey, Deepak, how about adding one of the top Latino comedians on your top 8 list?
Ooh,
remember the top 8?
Yeah. So we had the top 8.
Very important.
Paul Rodriguez is already on there.
And I checked. They had no Paul Rodriguez. So anyway, I get a reply back. Says, I'd be more than happy to on my next rotation. And I said, oh, shit, somebody's either messing with me.
Yeah.
They know I'm reading his book or this is, I don't know. So I said, cool.
Best reply ever, right?
Cool.
There.
Yeah, cool.
That's exactly what you should say.
So he writes back. I get a reply that says, how would you like to be on my Sirius Satellite Goodwill Living on satellite radio, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's fine. I said, I'd love to. I said, let me know when and where I'll be there.
And where was he recording it?
This is in the studio, so this would be over the radio.
Okay.
So I said, let's just have your producer call me.
Yeah.
We'll hook it up.
Dr. Dre? No, Suge Knight.
Okay. So he said, done. Anyway, long story short, his producer calls me, and I go, was that really Deepak Chopra? He goes, no. He goes, anyway, are you available this date?
Wow.
You're going to call in, and I'll call in, and I'm waiting, and I go, welcome to the show. This is Deepak Chopra. Today we have, and I go, what the fuck? And I'm like, so when I'm on the line, I go, is this really Deepak Chopra?
Did you say that on
the show? No, sure. You're still.
I'm still in doubt. I think somebody's going on my leg. I'm ready to go. We got you.
Boys. You don't even sound like Deepak, man.
Some kind of, punk show on the radio or something.
Yeah, no shit. No, yeah.
Okay. But it was him. So we talked about laughter is the best medicine. So he was talking about how, laughter brings out the endorphins of the body and how it generates neurons. All this shit. He got scientific about laughter. So all of a sudden he goes, so actually you are a doctor.
We
practice it. I go, I'm a doctor. Wow. This is good.
This is good. I like this.
So anyway, so now he goes, how would you like to come to Costa Rica to my War of the Lions and perform there? Some comedy.
And you said, cool.
I said, cool. So next thing I know, I'm in Costa Rica performing from people all around the world. Man.
Yeah.
And it was amazing because the guys like, if you can relate it, today's topic was law of attraction. You got any material on law of attraction? I go, well, I'm going to write some.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened, man. It's like, I don't know.
Fate, man.
Magical. But I'm up there doing my thing. I think I was just channeling, bro. I didn't have the
law of attraction. Yeah, that's what it is.
I was just destroying.
Yeah.
So I'm done. And people from like South Africa, from Central America, from Asia. Oh, yeah, very funny. I like, thank you. Then it hit me. I go, these people don't speak English.
Yeah.
So how did I know it was very funny? Why are they coming up to me? Right. And a lot of people are coming up to me going, very funny. Either they're being too kind or it's bullshit.
So, well, a lot of countries need to know English, right?
So no, but here's what happens. Yeah. So I asked the woman, I go, why is it? I go, I noticed they don't speak English, but they seem very funny. She goes, oh, no, because she goes, like, you ever been to the United Nations? We gave them headphones.
Oh, sweet.
Wow, so you, man. What you were saying in English was being translated in their native tongues.
Awesome.
Oh, how cool is that shit? That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Were you squeaky clean?
Oh, yeah, I didn't.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying.
Well, I don't want to say squeaky clean. I mean, I talked about topics that were like related to
the laws of attraction. Yeah.
I mean, so there's no need to come up, right? But, you know, I ragged on him. I referred to him as, I go, look at Deepak standing over there. I go, this guy's like the Elton John of spirituality. Because he wears like fashion glasses or little diamonds.
I would have loved the like, interpreters had to give them their region's Elton John. You know what I mean?
No, I get it, but it would be great like if like the Philippines always said Manny Pacquiao. Like anytime.
No matter what, Manny Pacquiao of.
Like, no matter what celebrity Mike, like, references, they keep saying he's Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, he does everything over there.
So every set, I would just riff on him, and he loved it. He'd be in the corner cracking up, and, you know, after that, he goes, oh, you're very funny. So it was an experience, man. It was unbelievable.
That's great.
And it all happened because of MySpace.
That is crazy.
Yeah, thanks, MySpace.
Yeah, it all happened because you said, hey, why not?
That's pretty much the lesson
I've had to tell people. Don't be afraid to ask. I just went for it, and look at everything that happened, man.
Yeah. See, and that's what happened to us. I Facebooked Mike Robles to be on the podcast. And look, here he is. So you went from performing in Costa Rica with a hip hop legend.
Spiritual hip hop
legend. Of spirituality. with the Manny Pacquiao of spirituality.
Deepak Chopra would like to say, yes, I am a prophet, but I spell it PROFIT.
Yeah, exactly.
That's his line.
Well, good for him making money, dude. Yeah. Death Row Records is all about making money.
Get money.
But I'm telling you, it's we all here laughing, but when you stand in that man's presence.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, bro. The energy or what. It is even weird. I didn't even tell you. The guy's room was across from mine at the hotel. So maybe I'm thinking, like, I wonder if he knows what I'm thinking right now. It's like 2 a.m.
Picks up all your energy.
Does he know my thoughts, right? And stuff like that. I could smell incense.
Was it MySpace or MocoSpace? Because now I'm kind of confused.
that was MySpace.
Okay.
That was MySpace. But the guy was beautiful, gave me a quote, and I quoted his book I read, one of the books he read, and he put my quote.
No way.
His book, him, Dan Aykroyd, I don't know who else.
Wow.
I think it's God Have a Sense of Humor. I don't know what the name of the book is, but. You see my quote about his book like that. Oh, so.
That's awesome. That's badass.
Yeah.
And now you're in Regan's apartment.
And now I'm in San Antonio, Texas.
Drinking water.
About to get down some coffee crisps.
With the Manny Pacquiao's of podcasting in San Antonio.
Podcasting by SAC. By San Antonio College.
And my apartment.
Yeah.
About comedy.
Yeah.
Like, very specific. It's a podcast in San Antonio near SAC about comedy.
Yeah.
We're not the Manny Pacquiao of San Antonio podcast around SAC about model trains or something like
that. Deepak's hologram to perform on February 6th at the Blind Tiger. Because, Mike, that's where you're going to be, right?
February 6th at the Blind Tiger Comedy. That's a cool name. Blind Tiger Comedy Club.
I think so. Oh,
yeah. I've never met a blind tiger, bro.
But I wouldn't want to. You know?
But guess what? We got a comedy club, Blind Tiger. It's a cool, you know, it's a cool club because when I did your benefit.
Yeah, Mike did the benefit for the American Diabetes Association. Oh. Very much appreciate you doing that,
that's
by the
what
way.
I do.
And yeah, it's a great room.
I
right?
love the room. I mean, it's a small room. It's so intimate. The energy. I mean, it reminds me like the Ice House, a little smaller.
Yeah, Pasadena Ice House.
But like everybody's just like literally like on top of you, man. It's like like the closest you can get to a performer, like comedian audience. Oh, I loved it, man.
And only people that are there for comedy are there.
Yeah.
You know, and fuck people in wheelchairs because there's no ramp accessibility.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No.
Well, actually, you could some Vicodin and then throw them down the stairs.
All kidding aside, if you're in a wheelchair, we will literally carry you downstairs.
Yeah.
We've done it before. Is it safe if there's a fire? Fuck no. But you know what, dude? Just fucking.
If I'm out there, I'll carry you out.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there's a fire. Yeah.
Yeah, my buddy Bear. My shout out to Bear Lee, sideshow freak. Friend of ours is a handicap, is a paraplegic, and he goes to a bunch of Blind Tiger shows, and he carries him. We carry the chair. So, so all your handicap fans listening, Mike, come on down.
That's right. You're so welcome to come down. February 6th. What is that? A Friday night.
Yes, Friday night. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. Yes.
10 o'clock.
So you buy your tickets soon. Go on.
Go to the website, MikeRobles.com.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. And people could follow you right on Twitter, and you're on Facebook.
Yeah, the whole Facebook and Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're there, Mike. So, yeah. Dude, thank you so much for doing the podcast. We're going to start talking.
All right, it was fun, man.
Take care.
I got my two stories out. So I'm
well, I have a coffee crisp before you go.
Okay, so we're going to try some coffee crisp. Regan travels the world, right? Regan travels the world. Ever heard of couch surfing?
Couch surfing.
Yeah.
No.
Explain couch surfing.
Couch surfing is essentially you let people sleep at your house that are traveling. And so, I've done it before. You just go online. You let strangers stay at your house.
Really?
Yeah. So last night I had a stranger stay.
You're kind of underselling it. They do background checks and shit.
I was going to say.
Yeah. Well, they don't do background checks.
What?
I would say more than background checks, do you get to smell them before they
No, that's a good point though. There isn't a how good does this person, but it's about
their culture. Literally.
I mean, I want to do a background check, but you know what? I want to know how you smell. Clean.
That's actually way more important than I think about it.
Deepak smelled great.
Oh, that guy smelled like money and
stuff that we ain't never heard of.
And Aramis.
And
Nothing.
That is my uncle's cologne.
That's classic stuff.
Aramis.
Deepak Chopra.
Aramis. It's an Aramis commercial.
They do a vouching system, so people, if you're a terrible guest, people will say you have a profile. It's like a Facebook, okay. And people will say this person, don't invite him over.
Really?
But if you get a bunch of people, they're like, oh, this guy's really nice. And so last night, I had a dude from Canada coming in for the Penny Arcade Expo.
Well, that's what he does when he travels. He does couch surfing. Yeah, so
I'll stay with random people or just meet up. Like if you want to meet a local.
And in return, if they're here in San Antonio, they send you.
You can. If I go, he's from Canada.
Do they pay you or is
no, just, no, 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 they don't pay you. It's all just a kind of cool karma system of, I got a place.
You like to travel? I like to travel. Yeah. Stay on my couch.
I don't know, man, but you say that. You know what I hear in my head? Dun, dun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear Law and Order theme, bro. Dun, dun.
Seriously, I would be so afraid if there was somebody in my house sleeping on my couch that I would murder them.
Yeah, right.
I'm afraid of myself and what I do.
Guy stayed the night from Canada, obviously super nice, and he left me these Canadian coffee crisps straight from Canada.
Did he know that you collect candy?
No, that's what's weird. Fun. He doesn't know. Because whenever I travel, dude, I grab candy from all the little places I've been, and I come here and we share them. And so he left us, actually, the Canadian original.
So if you go to Canada, you could surf on his sofa?
If I wanted to.
Or anybody that's on couchsurfing.
Let's just say technically the guy don't have a place.
No, then there's other people in Canada that
are on the website.
A couch that I can sleep on.
Oh, I'm just trying to figure this out. What's the incentive for you? Okay, you can stay on my sofa. What's the incentive for me?
Wait, I can stay on your sofa.
In other words, you can. In other words,
it's almost like being an ambassador for your city as well. So, I wouldn't. That's
fascinating.
You want to show them.
Is there money that goes with this?
No, there's no money.
Mike, businessman, boss man, Robles.
This is a no
cares
money.
Cares about that green, homie. Yeah.
How can I cash in on this system?
Anything no money involved. That Tupac Chopra taught you. All just kindness of heart sort of stuff. You're letting them because that somewhere down the line, you may need to say in another city. And if that dude goes, Regan's awesome.
It's paying it forward.
The look on Mike's face of trying to digest and comprehend.
It's like me explaining to my grandma texting.
He said, no, last night I had a Canadian lying on my sofa.
Yeah.
I
go, what the
fuck?
Yeah.
Next week we expect Ethiopians.
I mean, they're not going to leave food.
I've had Canadians. I've had Vietnamese.
Yeah.
I've had Germans.
Is the limit one to sofa?
It's up to you. It's up to you. If it's your place and you.
The fuck? So a guy could come in with a family of 12,
I put on my profile, I'll only host three people because I got three couches. Y'all can sleep on the
couch. And couches. No hot chicks ever.
No, there's been, I mean, the Vietnamese girl. There's a cute Vietnamese girl. Yeah.
And you didn't smash?
No, because she came.
God, you're not supposed to. Smashing.
You're not supposed to smash.
No, you're couchfuckers.com. This is couchsurfers.com.
Then it'd be like, oh, Regan tried to get in my pants and blah, blah.
But what if she was trying to get in your pants? Then you would smash her and then give her a bad review?
No, it's not about that.
Okay.
No.
Well, anyway, so he left.
Anyway, so
Coffee
yeah.
Chris.
Canadian stayed here last night. And he left.
What
these
are
candies.
These?
I don't know. I've never
make
had
a
them.
Nice light.
They're
snack.
The Canadian original. It says on the pack.
And I like
in French, La Barre Canadienne Originale.
That's why there's like Mexican candy. How it has it in English and Spanish. This has it in English
it's in
and French
because yeah. it's in Canada.
I like it.
Well, and real quick before we eat this, what did you yours, give the bro? Guy? What you took him for breakfast?
I took him breakfast to Jim's.
Yes,
and I had him eat a chicken fried steak breakfast.
That's awesome.
And what did he say
who
about
paid,
it?
Who paid for that breakfast?
He paid for it, actually.
For even for your breakfast?
He paid for my breakfast, too.
See, he got a breakfast and candy and probably a BJ out of it. Did you get...
No. There was no sexual relations between me and this guy.
Man, I'm sorry, dude.
Hey. Mike is all about you getting money, and you're all about getting sex.
Yeah well, because
because what you're doing is sex. Nice. I mean, so the guy paid for breakfast. That's nice. That's nice to know.
Exactly, yeah.
Otherwise, I mean, Jesus.
Was he like a white guy?
Yeah. It's like a fucking uncle that comes over and, like, you know, just eats all your shit up and says, all right, see you next week.
Later, thanks, and stinks up the place.
Yeah.
He smelled perfectly fine.
Yeah. Well, let's open it up. All you right. open it up, because if there's a bomb in it... you're the one who's going to open it.
Oh, they're individual.
Oh, they're actual bar.
What's the expiration date?
Mike, dude, you're awesome.
I don't know.
Yeah, ooh, these are going to be the shit.
Split it. That's all.
Literally.
Literally the shit. It's coffee crisp.
Here, but they're Nestle still.
Yeah.
Right? It's super sealed.
It looks like a Snickers bar, man.
Yeah, well, no, it's like a wafer.
Very crispy. Okay. All
like right. those sugar Nutter Butters.
All right.
Does it taste like coffee?
It tastes like coffee.
I love coffee. Mm-hmm.
Do you like coffee?
I love coffee, but I'm going to let you guys eat it just in case.
Let them. Let them here.
All right.
We're going to wait like 20 minutes. If you guys are still talking on the podcast, maybe I'll take a bite.
There. Whenever you want to break into it, that's your coffee crisp.
That one, yeah, that one's yours, my coffee crisp.
I like it. I like it too. I'm not a fan of coffee, but this is, it's a nice crispity coffee.
It tastes like drinking good coffee with one of those chocolate creamers.
See, I don't get it. The guy can afford, a bag of coffee crisp, bro. And a chicken dinner at Jim's. Can't the guy just afford like $40 at the Red Roof Inn?
But do you know why?
Super
you know why?
You know what I'm saying?
Do you know why he can't afford the breakfast and coffee, Chris? Because he's saving money on a hotel.
Yeah, he just
how much does the Super 8 cost here, San Antonio? Like
$40.
$19.99, $20, something like that.
Yeah, but then now he has a friend in San Antonio.
Yeah,
right? it's a social
yeah,
experience.
And now if I ever, I have friends in Canada as well, but at least if I'm up there, I can be like, hey. There's always that chance that he can put
now,
me
now, here's an idea, right? Hey, we do comedy, right? How about I say, this is a special for 1 week only. I will host 25 people, but you all have to buy tickets to my comedy show on Friday.
Well,
now I'm making some money.
Sounds a plan.
But you know what, Mike?
What?
Remember back in the day when you were a road comic, mm-hmm. I'm sure you slept in your car a night or two.
Never, right? But go ahead.
Never, but I mean, it's out there with some road comics, right? Okay. Wouldn't couch surfing have been great when you're paying your dues on the road?
Man, you know what? Again, man, I guess I'm just one of these people, man, that shit, if I don't know you, you don't know me.
That's New York.
Maybe because it's from New York. You're not sleeping in my house. Probably. I don't know, man. I might have to grab a bat and hit you in the fucking head because, you know what I'm saying? I'm being paranoid or
Deepak
something.
Deepak wouldn't approve of that, Mike.
No, that was
pre-Deepak. Pre-Puck.
Yeah,
pre-Puck. Pre-Puck Chopra.
Pre-Puck Chopra, yeah. That was pre-Puck Chopra.
Well, this is fun.
But now, that would be cool. But I just wouldn't be comfortable with that.
It takes a lot of trust.
But it depends, maybe I'll give it a try. What is it?
Couch surfing.
So you go to couchsurfing.com.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it out.
All right.
I'll let you know what they tell me.
Look it up.
Try it out. All right. So let's start some of these topics.
All right. So, bouncing off the kindness of others, we're going to jump into This week's edition of Yeah, we're looking at that, a segment where I talk about the latest in movies and games, and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of listeners and friends would be, yeah, we're looking at that. So, like I said, bouncing off the idea.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but what
did you don't just understand that being from New York?
Yeah, aren't you from New York?
No, but what did you say before that?
Yeah, I'm gonna look into that.
Oh, no, it's like, yeah, I'm gonna look into that.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Bouncing off the idea of the kindness of others, this week we're talking about a movie called Killers, and not the Katherine Heigl movie from 2010, definitely not the band from Vegas, Killers. But this is a movie.
Wait, the Katherine Heigl, didn't that have Ashton Kutcher in it?
Yes. Oh. We're not talking about that
Never
movie.
Saw it.
Yeah, neither did I. But we're talking about 2014 movie that's coming out this year, and it's called Killers, and it's actually an Indonesian/Japanese movie, and it is about a Japanese serial killer who his routine is that he puts his activities online. He posts them in places where people can see.
Oh,
and whatever, right?
Man, one ice pick, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what happens is this Indonesian reporter, a kind of investigator, was looking into it. And as the deeper that he gets into the world of, you know, this killing online or whatever, he absorbs too much to the point to where he himself gets into the world and gets kind of addicted to killing as well. And because he starts to kind of put his shit online, they begin to network.
It's a social network of killers.
Social network of killers.
Couch surfing of murderers.
Yeah, it's a couch surfing of murfers.
I told you to trust that couch surfing stuff, man.
I thought it was really funny that we were talking about couch surfing. I was like, these dudes connected on probably couchfuckers.com or couchkillers.com or couchkillas.com. Which is a hip hop social networking website. But this is across from Indonesia to Japan. So that's actually kind of an interesting thing. Now, that's pretty much the root of it. Like, it just has a kind of a dark thing, and it looks pretty interesting, and I like it. Production aspect of it is that it is a cross Japanese, cross Indonesian production. The director, the directors are called the Mo Brothers. And one of them, I can't pronounce his name for the death of me, but he's an Indonesian director who did the short and ABC's of Death. It was L for Libido. So if you've seen that one, that's probably one of the more solid / fucked up shorts of that movie. And he also did the short in VHS 2, which was called Safe Haven. So his stuff's pretty out there. It's pretty grotesque. It's really disturbing, very slick. And yeah, it's just, it has the potential.
Highly recommended, really people.
Do you like horror films, Mike?
That's a real question. Do you like horror flicks?
Well, the one he's describing, I would watch. I like what do you call them?
Thrillers?
Like, what was it? Like Gothic? What was it called? With, Halle Berry?
Gothica?
Okay, what is that? Sci-fi or whatever?
Well, it's a horror movie, but it's like ghosts, right? Like haunted.
Well, there was a ghost in that movie, but.
I've never seen it. I thought she got Gothica written on her.
Oh, it was, I forgot. I don't even remember.
Anyway, horror in that, like horror way, you know.
Oh, wait, no. Gothica was the one where she went to jail and the,
they put her on some psychotic drug or something.
Right.
And
the prison guard was.
Remember that Kushner was in that movie.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, Butterfly, Silence of the Lambs.
That kind of stuff.
Thrillers. Yeah, you like thrillers.
Thrillers. Thank you. Yeah. So, I don't know. Is that the same thing?
I would say
Gattaca is with Ethan Hawke, where he takes a ride with that cop. He teaches him the streets. That's Gattaca.
And Attica's what they yell in Dog Day Afternoon.
Right. No, Attica is the dude who is in Silence of the Lamp.
No,
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Attica's
the
lawyer.
Atticus.
No. That's
Atticus,
a band.
No, Atticus Finch is the thing that the guy. De Niro is shouting in Dog Day Afternoon.
No, Tequila Mockingbird was a restaurant on the Riverwalk.
To me, I like, you know, the thrillers and maybe the horror. It's how you deliver the product.
Yes, right, exactly. Yes.
You know,
exactly.
That was that, what was it, Apocalypto or something?
Apocalypto.
The Mel Gibson one?
That to me was
Apocalypto.
That was, like you said, gruesome and stuff. You're talking about chopping off heads and rolling them down and sacrifice. Blood and sacrifice. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I like the cultural aspect of it.
Deepocalypto would probably be a lot better.
Deepocalypto.
Deepocalypto.
Eucalyptus.
Yeah.
Eucalypto. So Killer's very.
It's quality. Killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thirsty.
Has a little connection to one of my favorite action movies, which is The Raid, because it has some of the same actors. Actually, from The Raid 2, they're both in The Raid. And the Indonesian actor is actually in Safe Haven, which is on VHS 2. So. looks cool. I'm gonna look into that. It looks awesome. So, but that inspires the topic for to kick off this week. Topic number one, and it's killers, you know, creating their own horror stories online. And so the topic for this week is share your worst internet horror story. And you can interpret that as you may. Like, you know, and these guys, they're killers networking, so that's really horrific. So let's hopefully not have any experiences like that. But maybe, like, maybe you were hacked. Maybe you were stuck. Maybe you were catfished. Maybe you, you know, lost your work data, or, you know, maybe you pay too much for your internet bill. Like, that's basically kind of interpret your internet story, horror story, as you may. Mine is probably a classic kind of tale, and it's the it's twice that has happened. It's this sense of dread back in the day when it was AOL chat room shit, right?
Oh, God.
AOL, this is going back further than MySpace. Two times this happened to where I would chat and be sociable enough to where girls were interested and wanted to, like, relationship wise. Right. But I was, like, super friendly and kind of receptive back, because I think it was interesting that we mentioned last podcast that I felt really comfortable, like, communicating. Like, that was my comfort zone. Right, I was really good at that. And because I was just loner, really wasn't really sociable with girls, I would just kind of, like, be cool with it. I'd be totally down with it. But these girls were taking it, like, too far, to the point where they twice it would be like, where do you live? I want to come down and visit you. And da 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 and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But no. Yeah. It's no.
Yeah, Jess. No. Dude, that's what's supposed to happen. That's what the internet was made for.
That is, dude.
Hooking up.
No. Sorry,
bro.
No. And let me explain why. Because in both instances, this is around the time where I'm like 19, 20, something like that. And I did, like, meet pen pals and shit, so I was exchanging letters, whatever. So they had my fucking address.
Pen pals?
Yeah, you know, they send you pictures and letters and shit. You know, this is like, no one does this shit anymore.
MySpace. You mean
this,
like, before, like, sending money, like, five to feed a child, you mean? That kind of letter?
No. She's just like
Random friends.
Random friends, yeah. I say these girls had my address, but I should say these women had my address.
Yeah.
And it got, like, two times where it would, like, they were really kind of aggressive. I'm going to do it. Like, I'm going to go down, like, and visit, because I'm 19, 20, so I'm just like a kid, essentially, in my mind. But this lady.
You know, there's some people thinking right now, go, then, what's the problem?
Exactly.
No.
Thank you, that's Mike. What I'm thinking right here.
Yeah.
I'm half hard. Continue.
33-year-old from Rhode Island. Like, just wanted, and it twice, it was very scary, because the reality of that happening frightened me, because I was still at home. I wasn't my own person.
With your folks?
Yeah.
Okay, what was like the craziest thing they said they wanted to do to you?
They wanted to fuck me.
They straight up said
that's too generic. Like, what exactly did they want to do?
No, that's about as generic as it gets.
Mike broke into the coffee crisps.
Yeah.
I need a Canadian A.
It's good, right?
Not bad for a couch surfer.
Right, it's pretty good. They're delicious.
Yeah.
A little messy, but they're delicious. Yeah.
Wafers, man. So, what specifically?
I got a lot of class. He got money for a hotel, but he got money for some good candy.
It doesn't get any more frank than that. I can't wait to show up and fuck you. Like, it's
straight
just
up. That's
straight
what
up.
They said.
This is the kind of confidence.
All right, we're,
yes, because think
we're
about
all,
it.
We're like, all thinking it's cool and stuff, but what if it was a dude?
There's that. There's that. There is. It just
that's,
wasn't.
See, that's a question.
It wasn't. It was this dread of embarrassment. Picture you're 19 years old. And you live
you're
with
modest.
Your parents.
You're modest, yeah.
Yeah, and you're on your internet, and then no door knocks, and this 33-year-old grown woman, and not just like,
wait, that happened?
No,
let me say this.
No, it didn't happen, but that's the fear.
Okay.
That's the fear. That's the horror. Is that the tension of that possibly happening. And I'm making it sound like this hot 30... It's not a hot 33-year-old. It is a
I'm 33. I'm hot as fuck.
But you're 19. Remember, we talked about this. If you're 19, 33 is old to you. And not like
so
fucking 19-year-old, hot.
19-year-old
so
chicks think I'm
weird?
So
she was an older woman.
Yes.
How about if she was your age?
Hot.
Would you mind if she came knocking at your door?
It would have made more sense.
Okay.
But
that
picture you're living
sense,
at your
you,
home.
You said you were afraid that this woman was going to come to your house and knock. Are you afraid because it was a woman that you're not attracted to?
No.
Because
no.
he still lived
with
his parents.
If I was my apartment, I would just say,
he still had a child's mentality.
I still had a child's mentality. This isn't happening recently. This is when I was 19 years old.
You had a child mentality at 19? What would your parents have said? Let's just say the door's not.
That's the fear. That's the fear.
What,
like,
what do you think your father would have said?
It's the shame. I couldn't even process.
It's the shame.
It's the fucking shame.
I'm with you, Jess. I'm with you.
It was like, see, now here's the thing. If I was like, if I was 19 years old, living in my apartment, whatever, I just plow through fucking internet hoes. But that's not what I was all about. That's not what I'm about.
Yeah.
I was a 19-year-old dorky kid playing games in my fucking, like,
now you talk
garage.
Let it out.
But if you're living with your parents,
have that deep crack moment.
But if you're living with your parents, it's fucking frightening that this 33-year-old single woman divorcee
deep throat
from Rhode Island.
Throw when she had fake tits.
No,
that's horrible.
It was frightening.
Yes, frightening, yes.
But if you live by yourself, yeah, but I can see the appeal of like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, no, but when you're by yourself and you're leaving kids, it's the shame. It's embarrassing.
I get it. Remember, Mike is a deal, man.
Yeah.
Like, if I said what you said to my uncles, they would be like, well, what's the fucking problem?
I don't understand. I would say, hey, there's someone at the door for you.
And again, okay, so we're talking about the fear of couch surfing. Of like, is that person stable? Obviously, they can't be that stable if they're leaving their home to come to fuck a stranger
in a different state.
In a different state, it'd be a different story.
And no picture
where it's like, oh, I'm in your same
zip code.
Technically,
a teenager.
Yeah. So to me, that's the horror story. The fear of that happening. It never happened, but twice I had that fear is because it's like women that had my address and was kind of pushing to make it happen.
So I think your fear, you were 19. I think what you were afraid was that your parents would say, how the hell did they get your address?
Yeah.
Why did
yeah.
you give it to them? So yeah. You were afraid of getting your ass whooped by your father. Wasn't that 33-year-old?
It was also an embarrassment too. Like I just felt shame. Like,
There's a movie where that happens. Is it Better Off Dead where there's a little younger brother? Yeah, I think it's Better Off Dead that writes these old like ads and he has these like old ladies show up, but he's totally cool with it.
Right.
But that's
what ends up happening?
Nothing. I just revert to my defense mechanism at the time that I'd use at Diamond Shamrock when older, because I had mentioned before that older single moms around the 20, 30-year-old thing would hit on me at Diamond Shamrock.
Gas station.
Right.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah,
see, that, now they're called what?
Valero. Yeah.
That mildly, again, if you live with your parents, it doesn't compute. Like, I'm not going to go to this lady's house. And I've mentioned this real quick story before. This lady, she was 30 something years old. I was like 19 years old and she came in and she was very flirtatious and she left her number to me one time. Like she, cause well, I was nice
to everybody.
No, I was this long haired metalhead. It didn't make zero sense. I didn't understand the chemistry. No.
Okay, there it is.
Yeah. No. She was no.
Okay,
like,
okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so what would happen, what made it creepy was that, so she gave me her number one time. She's like, call. And it's all because I remembered what type of cappuccino she liked. Like that made her fall in love.
She knew you, man.
Right.
Or you knew her.
You cared.
So she had a daughter. This little like 7-year-old girl, and then sometimes the girl would come in.
Don't go there, bro.
No, he's not.
The girl would come in and
do the coffee
for her. She would come in and do the mom's coffee, and I would see the mom parked in front of the store getting the coffee.
Oh, okay.
Right, and then that happened habitually. That would happen every once in a while. Well, one time after the whole phone number thing, this little girl comes in, pouring a thing of cappuccino, comes at the thing, pays for the cappuccino. I go, oh, have a nice day, and she goes, oh, my mom wanted to know why you haven't called her yet. And it's like, it's fucking, okay, so that's, it's this weird, the shame is just like, it is like, I don't want to be associated with being, like at the time, I don't want to be the desperate person fucking single moms that,
again, to reiterate, at the time, because now,
at the time, if I was single and now, I'd be like, fuck it, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
You but I'm not plowing through Diamond Shamrock.
Shamrock. Yeah, but at 19 years old, you're still living your parents, and then you have not just the eyes of the world on you, but you have your eyes of your parents. Like, come on, why are you fucking these worthless fucking?
But no,
what's
but
wrong
that,
with
but
you?
That's you. That's
yeah,
you.
That's
at,
me.
You at 19?
Yeah,
because me at 19, I was still living with my at home. I can't say with my folks. I was living with my aunt and uncle. And yeah, I would just go to their place.
Yeah, and see, that's to me. I couldn't get over that fear and that shame.
Go to Rhode Island?
Yeah.
But if they came down there, they'd get a hotel.
They go to work, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So to answer your question, how the two scenarios on the internet, I reverted to my Diamond Shamrock thing, is to be a 19-year-old. Because whatever nice person facade these people found charming or whatever, and then I just turn on.
You were just hot, bro. You were like pre. What's that body spray that makes
Axe?
Yeah, you were like pre Axe, bro. You were Axe.
You were like bod.
I think I was your bod. Bod body spray. Hatchet.
Aramis speaks in volumes.
Oh, he can never be Aramis, dude.
Yeah.
Well, my internet horror story, it's not a singular story because I was thinking about a lot of like kind of minor things and they all revolved around Kazaa. Remember Kazaa?
Yeah,
before YouTube, there was this file sharing website called Kazaa.
Like
it was like Napster, but it had videos and files, and it was like a torrent site.
Basically, illegal downloads.
You would get music, you would get videos, you would get movies.
Like LimeWire, remember LimeWire?
LimeWire, it was right before LimeWire. And the problem was that people kind of mislabeled things. So, you know, hot chick getting, you know, messy facial and you see just this homemade
crap. Where this is going.
Thank you.
Was it mislabeled, by the way?
It wasn't a hot chick, you know. And then they kind of snuck in, you know, pedo stuff and then you're like, okay, flag the guy, you know, you get upset and you're like, I'm never doing this again, but then you're like, let me roll the do it again, right? I remember once it was a Japanese game show and it had this woman with her hands out. She had her hands out and it was underneath this, it was in a box that she couldn't see, right? It was just a box. And it turned out that there was another woman taking a shit in this box and she had her hands out, right? And so then, you know, it's all in Japanese, right? And it was like a game. There was audience there and I'm like, what the fuck is this, right? Cause I think I typed like a hot Asian, plays with shit. And pre-Google, pre-POC Google. So the lady shits, right?
Yeah.
And she realizes that shit falls in her hand and it was like a little like turd and the lady starts laughing and then it was just the cork because then she just diarrhea shat on her hand and then the chick barfed on her hand. So the chick barfed on her hand that was full of another woman's shit, and I stopped it, and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing, right? God damn it, Kazaa.
That's the internet.
There was one that was me and my buddies. We went to this to a friend of ours named Toasty. Shout out to Toasty. Prom night, and I was a dick, you know, and I said, let's look up the most fucked up stuff in his computer.
Yeah. Wow, that's Larry.
Just so he can have it on his history. You know, God. Just to be an asshole, right?
Something wow.
Pre-incognito mode.
Yeah, exactly. Pre-clearing cookies. Just to be funny, right? Me and my buddies, you know, and we just typed something simple like fucked up porn or something.
Yeah.
And this made it to, this line made it to Sketches and it made it to our movie Blood Cousins, which you can get on bloodcousinsmovie.com. The line, so it said hot dog fucking, and we thought it was a girl fucking wieners, like Oscar Mayer hot dog. Commas are important. We thought it was hot dog fucking and we clicked on it and it was hot dog fucking and it was showing this woman fucked this dog and I was
but it was hot.
It was not.
Oh, okay.
It was.
I did not see it.
It was like temperature hot.
It was mortifying. Yeah. It was gross. And cream pie, for those of y'all wondering.
I don't want to.
I mean, I got to give the people what they want. And so, Kazaa was responsible for all that sort of shit. And fast forward to go into Raymond Orta's house, couch surfer for comics. Raymond Orta, close friend of ours, was really into the YNC, YNC.com. Ever been to that website, the YNC? Basically, Faces of Death type of shit. Really? And they showed all these cartel videos. Ever seen a cartel video?
Wow.
Man, you can't unsee it. A guy gets his head chopped off with a chainsaw, and another guy gets his head chopped off with a regular knife. It looked like a butter knife because it took so long. So can't unsee that. Have nightmares. I'm a little bit scared of the internet because of it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Internet horror story is look at this shocking thing, and I shouldn't have saw that shocking thing.
You got Rick rolled with horror.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
I'm going to piggyback off of that because my internet, I don't really have, luckily, like a really bad horror story. I'm pretty sure watching porn kind of gave my computer a virus at some point.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah, and so I had to delete stuff. I had to like do the thing where I was like, "Oh crap, it's screwed," and I like had to MacGyver my way to get my files off of the computer before wiping it out and rebooting it and like giving it, and so completely starting over from scratch. That kind of sucked. Thanks, porn. But other horror stories, it's not really a horror story. It was just like a life lesson learned, which is thanks to, I want to say, Larry and Jess and site.
That eFuck.com?
Yes.
eFuck.com.
It's a website.
Good site, man.
It's very funny.
It's a funny site.
That one gave me nightmares, too.
Yeah, it is.
It's a funny site where like bad sexual things
porn
happen.
Bloopers.
Gross porn related stuff. These guys loved it, man. They loved
getting... It's good, like, stag party stuff, because it's funny.
It's funny stuff that happens during porn.
Like, there's one where they're doing, like, this circle jerk on a girl, and this guy's in, like, crutches, and he almost falls, like, in this big kitty pull of cum.
So we used to be roommates, there's always these times where they'd be like, hey, come check this out. Look at this. And I'd go and I'd look, and it would just be, of course, awful, terrible things that I don't want to see. And I know
Fry laughed. Futurama.
That stuff doesn't freak me out.
And like, I would learn like never to look at what they were laughing at. If
Larry Garza ever yells at you, "Hey, look at this! Don't do it."
He's gonna show you some sitting on gum.
Yeah, it's either my nuts, my dick, or some gross porn.
Don't ever look at what Larry asks you to look at. So that's kind of, it wasn't a horror story. It's just that, but that's the thing, is I learned. No, I don't ever look at those sites or look at those videos.
You can't unsee it.
Can't unsee these horrible things. Like the two girls, one cup thing that I've never seen to this day.
You ever seen one guy, one screwdriver?
No, because you've told me about it. I don't want to see that kind of stuff.
Don't see it, dude.
These are all things that scare me just in general about the internet.
The world's an evil place.
I stay away from it. I don't want those visuals in my head. And that's
PETA videos,
too. That's what I say. That's what you get. You should deserve nightmares for watching horrible things.
Yes, I agree with you. I've learned my lesson.
Thank you.
I've learned my lesson.
You learned your lesson.
You should see his video.
Show me later.
Okay, you are some sick people. I just want to say that right now.
Yeah.
I didn't expect these internet horror stories. You know, I just thought, you know, like, geez, we're talking about.
Well, mine was fairly innocent.
Yeah, he was on the okay side of it. He was just.
Mine's fucking.
No, yeah, yours. I said, man, this is hard. But then you.
I'm a terrible person, Mike.
Larry, no.
I'm not saying you're a terrible person.
No, here's what he is.
What you're watching is some fucking horrible shit.
He's not a terrible person. He's a pervert. There's a difference.
Oh, okay. Would you agree with that, Larry? You're a pervert?
We've gone over this.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what's your pervert scale rate?
6.
Yeah, honestly, 6. On a reality of the real world of perversion.
I don't like seeing girls get beat up. I don't like toys.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a pretty tame guy, but what makes me laugh is perverted.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm not watching this shit to jerk off to or anything.
But it's still
like that.
Perverted.
Yeah, absolutely.
My humor's perverted.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
My humor, okay. Don't call me a pervert. Just, I have perverted humor.
We had a long discussion in the car once. But anyway, that's
where
it's coming from.
I've never jerked off in a car like Mario Salazar.
That's perversion.
Yeah, he was on a podcast, and he passed listeners.
That's weird. Yeah. I remember once when we were at McAllen, right?
Yeah.
Oh, the guy walks into McDonald's and grabs like 70 napkins. I go, bro, you got napkins in your house? You know,
But now that you're saying he jerks off in the car, he probably saves it for road gigs.
He was in the parking lot of a church because there was an AA meeting that he was supposed to go to, and he didn't. He sat in the car and he masturbated to a woman that was walking by.
So there's okay.
And
so
he didn't know that was bad.
If you're listening to this on the internet, that may count as your internet horror stories hearing about Mario. But what about you, Mike? What is your
internet horror story? Honestly, that can top even.
No, don't top it.
Not even come close to your topic.
Please lower the bar.
Comes to mind is a businessman. I guess it's like
I
was gonna do an email blast to the 5,000 subscribers I had on my website.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah,
and when I'm all ready to do it, they weren't there. So my horror story is to this day I lost 5,000 emails.
What? That's how long did it take you to get those?
That's what I'm saying. You build those shows, you know. So I call. I don't even want to mention who the server is.
You're sure. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
But I call them and they, you know, they, these days everything goes to the fucking, either the Philippines or somewhere else.
Yeah, outsourced for sure. So,
good luck.
Hey, good luck. I'm like, hey, you know. Anyway.
But you didn't have a past email that you could reply all to, maybe?
No.
Did I just fix your problem?
No. They swiped it out.
No. Yeah, exactly. I, you know, call after getting all my information. You know what? The mom, I go, my email list is gone. It's missing. What are you saying? What the fuck am I saying? Let me repeat this, okay? So it goes down to the fact where they're searching and
what
we
if
don't know what happened.
It's a Filipino.
No.
The Manny Pacquiao of IT.
No. What if Mike actually called Deepak Chopra?
Oh, this was pre-pack,
even before he was Deepak, and he was just working at a call center
for Yahoo Mail.
He's not
Slumdog Millionaire. He didn't start off at a call center and then make it big.
That was the case. When I hung up that phone, I would have felt better and say, it happened for a reason. But it wasn't Deepak on the other side.
Got it.
Because the response I got, we don't know what happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
I go, what do you mean you don't know what happened? I go, how do I get it back? Who the fuck? You know what I'm saying?
Did you try turning off and on your computer set? Yeah,
exactly. You know, it's amazing.
Logging in and logging off.
They do this to you, man. Cause I don't even know how it happened, but it's lost, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting upset, right? And obviously I'm like, you know, bullshit. What do you mean you don't know what the fuck? And it's funny when, you know, these days people are so sensitive. On the other side, it's like, oh, if you continue speaking like that and screaming, I'll have to hang up this phone call. You know, like, fuck you. You know, you just.
I got it.
An email list just disappeared like into like a fucking Malaysian Airlines jet, bro. Just missed it. Nobody knows where it is. You know, and we'll look into it, but that was my horror story because.
No, that's
great.
You gotta think, this was also,
it sucks.
This was also when it wasn't, you know, wasn't Facebook wasn't hot.
Email was,
that was it.
The way to go was email, which I think today, by the way, is still the way to go, email. Many people make the mistake where they live off Facebook and Twitter thinking that's how I reach it.
Email.
I'll do that. But anyway, so that would be, I mean, it doesn't even compare to your guys' stories.
No, that's, no, but to me, that's a bad. Real horror story.
That's what I was, I want,
like, that's
spectrum.
Real. Ours wanted, is like, yeah.
That one, maybe, and one day I was looking at IKEA's website, looking for some furniture.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden my screen locks and says I got to call Washington and pay like $200 to unlock it. I don't know what the fuck happened.
Yeah.
And,
that's a virus.
You know what I'm saying? So now you got other people using your computer. You go, shit, I got to get the shit off my screen because, you know, I'm looking at IKEA furniture, but
maybe they're looking at you.
Yeah. I don't know. So that kind of so that was funny because now I bought my laptop, right? But I can't do shit because it's frozen with this stupid screen.
Yeah.
A federal warning.
Yeah.
You must either this and we report or
You have to send $200
for
the virus. Yeah.
I feel
for
like
old people.
I feel like a criminal.
Yeah.
I feel like a criminal.
The FBI's watching you like
Now I can't do shit on the computer. I want to get it out. So now I have to go to my phone.
Yep.
And I have to Google how to get rid of.
No shit. I've done that.
I put all the information and I'm looking at the screen. Blah, 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 blah. So you got to do it quick. You got to do it quick. You know, you got to like, you want to reset it, but the screen.
Right before
comes
it starts.
Back.
Yep.
Yeah. So I got to position the arrow.
Yep.
Right.
Ready then, to exit or whatever.
And then hit the return key. Because when you hit the return key, the screen disappears, right?
Yeah.
And if I'm quick enough, I hit the arrow with the other thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? With the mouse.
Yeah.
And boom, I get rid of it. So So it's a matter of speed.
Yes, it is.
It's a matter of seriously.
No, I know.
So, you know.
And did you beat it?
Fuck yeah. It felt so good, you know? Because you know what? What happens is the left hand, right? The left hand is on the mouse controlling the arrow and the click.
Yep.
The right hand is on that arrow.
How many times did it take you to get it?
I would say maybe like 10, 11, 12.
Okay, hours. Okay.
Yeah. It didn't happen on the first try.
Because yeah. I was going to say, if that happened on the first try,
I don't know. I had to practice it.
Okay.
And I bet you're thinking like, wow, I'm getting this virus surfing IKEA, and these motherfuckers are looking at guys getting their heads chopped off and eating shit. Viruses. But I'm just looking at fucking Swedish furniture.
Go figure.
No, I got plenty of viruses. So we posted this question on Facebook. What have people been saying on Facebook?
Brian Powell says tub girl. I don't know what that is. Does anybody know?
Tub girl is a picture of a girl with her knees to her shoulders shitting in the sky and it falling on her face.
Never known that. Glad I don't. Not going
to
look
What was the question that led us to this? I'm just curious.
Internet horror story. Yeah. So this is horrible things that
happened. So these are people on the internet saying this because, lemonparty.com is... Okay.
Travis,
You know what? I think if people are gonna like respond to it, just don't tell us where to go and see this shit.
Don't put links.
I don't want to know because people, you know, that curiosity is like, I don't never want to see.
Here's what's funny, Mike. Remember how I said Larry's a pervert?
Yeah.
Who's the one that knew it right away? Is
I know meatspin.com.
See what I'm saying?
Cakefarts.com.
All those horrible things.
You got like a bookmark in your brain.
In my brain.
Wow.
In my mind brain.
He has those visuals.
Yeah. You know who else is like that?
That explains the long lunches.
You know who else is like Joe Rogan? If you listen to his podcast, but see the difference is he fucking discovers them. Like I just see him on blogs and shit and I get interested. Joe Rogan discovered death by horse cock. Ever heard that?
That's
one of the worst things I've ever seen.
I was just about to say, have you seen it, Larry?
I sure have.
Is that a tribute?
Have you really? It's fucking horrible.
It's really disturbing.
Is that a tribute?
Is that a tribute to Larry's perversion or really good marketing?
on these websites, then, right?
Kickfarts.com. Tell me you don't want to like fucking log into that.
Jess is getting defensive.
Well, maybe you can get them as a sponsor. Call them up.
They don't need it, man.
They're bigger than us. Death by a cock horse or whatever, a horse cock. Call them up and say, send them a clip right now. Say, we promoted you guys. How about coming on as a sponsor?
Can you get that horse on our show?
Yeah, that horse is glue, my friend, and killed a human being.
That horse is
a bag of Purina. It's done.
Oh, poor
it's
horse. Fucking, yeah. All right, moving on.
You can see the horse get killed at the YNC.com.
All these things Larry has seen.
But before that, it'll be racing at Thoroughbred at, I don't know, Aqueduct.
Edward Tama Park.
At Tama Park, you can see that horse cock. He's going to bang a couple of people as he does the first lap.
That's his racing name.
Yeah.
Hey, coming up behind number two, that's my horse cock.
A matter of fact,
coming out of the corner, heavens to Betsy, passing up Death by Horsecock.
Death by Horsecock. And you meet him at the winner's circle. He's going to... Gonna kill a couple of fans while you're there,
and he's a black stallion.
Travis K says, worst internet experience was when a crazy ex-girlfriend tried to refriend me on Facebook 2 days before my wedding. When I blocked her, I got a request from her mother. I was scared to death that the crazy female dog would show up at the wedding. I considered an armed guard for a little while at least. That's kind of scary.
Travis K, man,
that's scary.
A request from the mother.
I think Travis K probably has a horse cock. That's why you turn in girls crazy like that.
No, that's why you have to bring one of those little horse cocks to the wedding just in case.
To kill somebody.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to kill someone with this horse cock. You're a naysayer, horse cock.
Here we go. Judson Cooper says, tied for first place. One, remembering that an ex had access to some unsavory photos.
Got it.
So she can put those on the net if she wants to. Mm. Two, everything on Rotten.com when I had internet access at the age of 14.
Rotten.com is pretty gnarly.
Yeah. What is Rotten.com, Larry?
Rotten.com is just a series of pictures.
Isn't that Rotten Tomatoes, right?
Not Rotten Tomatoes.
Please don't confuse that one.
I know. Or...
hey!
These aren't movies. But I bet you people have done that.
Maybe.
Oh yeah.
Because there's also Rotten Cotton, which is his horror movie t-shirts.
So oh, okay. I'm just looking. Yeah. When is the next showing American Sniper? Oh my God!
Is that Asian guy eating baby soup?
God. Tommy Munoz says being friends with Jay Lafar on Facebook.
Nice.
The worst.
That's pretty rough.
Gabriel Diaz says, an ex tried to contact me excessively after our breakup, sent me a picture of positive pregnancy test.
Wow.
After a quick image search, I found on the first page of images the exact same photo. So Gabriel... Hey. Gabriel,
Google investigate. Yeah, that helps.
Here we go. Carlos Castro says it's a sad ongoing story. Comcast is like my heroin dealer. They treat me bad because they know I'm hooked. So
yeah,
it's just service right there.
That's what I was.
Here's a good answer. Brandy Dunnigan says.
I'm sorry, who?
Brandy.
I don't know that name.
Handy Tugigan.
There you go. Thank you.
Okay. Says two girls, one cup.
Yep.
Yeah.
You just can't unsee that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. And you can unsee it over and over.
You've never seen it, right? You've never seen two girls. Don't.
Dude, right now I have just mentally just
blocked
us.
I'm with you.
Locked. I have like what do you call it? Like spyware in my brain right now.
Good.
So all this perverted, horrible shit. Mike. I'm not even a church-going man.
Right, Samantha Linesrake says, involves a party of lemons and lots of eye bleach. So lemon
wrong,
party.
There is nothing wrong with lemon party. That's just...
Lemon party is just a picture of three old guys blowing each other.
They're just having a good old time. There's nothing wrong with that.
They call it lemon party because when you see it, you go, oh, like that.
He's all seen these things. Alfred Perez says, a young woman...
They're prank sites.
A young woman, age 21, added my Alpha Corner comic on MySpace. All right, MySpace.
Yeah.
She was cute as a button, but she kept trying to flirt with me way too hard. She also wanted me to buy her alcohol.
Yeah.
Wanted me to buy her alcohol.
The bitch.
For this or that. Suspicious, I turned down every advance. Eventually, she unadded me. When I went to message her, tell her no hard feelings, I saw that not only was she not 21, she wasn't even 18. So needless to say, I dodged a bullet.
Buy her alcohol.
F MySpace for letting people constantly change the profile age like that.
So yeah, man.
So what movie? Killers?
The Killers. Not the Katherine Heigl, Ashton Kutcher comedy
and
romp.
The Chow Yun-Fat movie, The Killer.
Not The Killer. And also not that fantastic band from Las Vegas, The Killers. Killers! Coming out, Japanese Indonesian movie. Yeah, I'm gonna look into that.
All right, guys. So it's time for another edition of Dad's Cornered.
Here we are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch.
Yay.
That's right. So like I always ask in the beginning of Dad's Corner to our guests, Mike, do you have any kids?
Yes.
Yes. So finally, I'm not outnumbered. We're even.
Tied.
2-2
Parents, no
I'll
parent.
Tell you what, my sister, my nieces are 26 and 24, and they have a one-year-old brother. But my sister, hey, man, she's cool, you know, and my nephew's awesome. My nieces are awesome. My nieces have kids because, you know, they're 24, you know, right. 26 years old. So their uncle's younger than they are.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? When you have an uncle that's like...
And you know what that is, man? That's Mexican. I don't care. And that's what my topic is today, is...
That's Mexican. Really? That's
Mexican.
It?
That's Mexican as shit.
That's where this is coming from.
I'm sorry,
I was wondering where the question was coming from.
Well, that's not just where the question is coming, but it's a segue into my question to Dad's Cornered, is what racial stereotypes are you guilty of? And we're all guilty of. Their stereotypes are there for a reason. Right. And I've been accused of being a coconut. People kind of make fun of me because of my voice, you know, especially my old hood friends, because I didn't always talk like this. My real voice is kind of like that. You know, when I talked when I was 16 and I had that, like that's,
Was it real? Oh, yeah, man.
If you met me when I was in high school, I'd be like, hey, sir. Well, that's real. That's cool, sir. You know, trying to be this fucking, that was my business voice. And then, you take audio production class and you start kind of learning how to speak correctly, and you end up getting a voice like this. You want to project. You want people to understand you, and then you stop talking like that, dude.
And call everybody sir.
Okay, sir. Well, I have respect, sir. And so I'm noticing that with my kids is they're very white. Like, you know, I grew up in the hood, and, you know, I'm noticing that there's certain things that are oddly genetic, like snacks. you know, my kids, they're Northsiders, you know, they're kind of, wimpy, right? They're not street kids, in the least bit, but for some reason they still like the hot Cheetos and pickles. And the Lucas, and I think it, and I try not to. I don't want their teeth to get all fucked up like mine, you know. But they're there.
It's genetics, bro. It's gonna happen,
right? They want the salty stuff. Mikey, my daughter, she's 9 years old. I've tried my best to, you know, enunciate ever since my kids were small. We talk to them like adults, right? You know, we didn't use baby words, and even though we are teaching them that and their daycares are teaching them that, now that she's going to school, mm-hmm. she's picking up that stuff. And I'll hear my daughter, who's never been around, you know, real hood Mexicans, be like, nah, dad.
Because she is around hood Mexicans at school.
Nah, dad. No, that's crazy. You know, talking Ugh. Like that, I'm just like, oh. But dad, I want it. And I'm like, where the fuck did you get that from, right? So, the question comes in is like, you know, we're not your average bears, but at the same time, you know, we embrace it, right? We're overweight. We're from San Antonio. We like breakfast tacos. We, you know, eat fried foods. So I think that the biggest stereotype that I'm very guilty of, and a lot of people will attest to this, is running late. And I know that was like kind of out of left field. We were probably thinking, you know, ghetto, or probably thinking tattoos, music. I don't like what most Mexicans like. But I am always running late, and I am a very early person compared to my family. My sister, Rachel, I love you, sis, but if you got to be somewhere, she organized a barbecue, Mike.
She organizes
barbecue, kind of a family reunion with cousins and stuff, to start at 2:00. She showed up at 6 p.m. So,
wow, that is late.
That is late as fuck. People were leaving. And we tease her all the time. Me and my nieces have planned to, if I'm still around when she passes away, we're going to make it to a point to, at her funeral, is going to start at 8:00, but we're not going to wheel in her casket to like 8:30, 9:00. We've already decided on that. For the cliche of, you know, being late to your own funeral, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm fucking punctual. What's funny is, and the hypocrite in me is, I'm never late for comedy shows. Mm-hmm. I'm always at least 30 minutes on time, give or take a few traffic incidents. But for the most part, if I have to be somewhere at 8:30, expect me there at 8:40. If I have to be somewhere at 7 a.m., expect me there at 7:10. For some reason, no matter how hard I try, I'm never on time. So that's mine. I'll leave it up to the floor. What about you, Jess?
I'm fat, and I like breakfast tacos. Like, you said it, but that's really what was on my mind. But here's the thing about this topic in general, is that that's not so much a racial stereotype. That's just, I think, the city stereotype.
So that's where you got to separate, like, between a stereotype.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said late.
And a cultural habit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's where
things we do. Like, for me, for example, like, you hear, like, all Latinos wear chanclas.
Uh-huh. Do you wear chanclas?
You know, we all have stories about how grandmother used to hit us with it, and we fear the chancla. You know, it's like we live off this thing. So is that a stereotype if I say all I did? Because honestly, I don't wear chanclas, bro.
Right? Yeah.
You know, I know what chanclas are, and everybody in my family wore them.
Yeah.
But I never wore them. You know why? Because, I mean, the real chancla we're talking about is not the ones you get now at, you know,
the flip-flops. Yeah.
Banana Republic type of, you know, Pacific, you know, those little
people.
Yeah.
Those are sandals. We're talking about
the chancla was like rubber.
Yep.
It had like that little V shape. In other words, it went between your toe.
Yeah, it was the thongs.
Yeah. Those, and you slipped in. Those always annoyed my feet.
Yeah, I've always annoyed those shoes.
So for that reason, I never wore them. So is that a stereotype, or is that just a culturally accepted
thing? Well, I think the stereotype for Mexicans, right, is you got lazy, sleeping in, being late, having a bunch of kids, having a bunch of brothers and sisters, having a long ass name.
So these stereotypes, are they like real, or are they just created like by the media?
So that's why the question's there. It's not,
are these stereotypes justified, right?
Right.
It's what stereotypes are we guilty of?
Yeah, fat and eat breakfast tacos. Like, because I don't, like, a lot of the Mexican stereotypes, I never was raised, I wasn't raised around the chancla. Mm-hmm. I wasn't raised around the huelita. I wasn't raised around menudo, or, you know, I was there, but it wasn't an identifying factor, you know?
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't something that defined me, so I don't consider it being guilty of that stereotype. So, like, to me, I'm having to struggle to kind of say, oh, the stereotype is that Mexicans, like, say, from San Antonio or whatever, are fat and eat breakfast tacos and, well, and lazy, blah, 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 the checklist. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, well, I'm fat, I eat breakfast tacos, and, you know, that's about it. You know, it's kind of stops there.
Like, that's what I was trying to think. I was like, I don't know what the, like,
I have no...
I'm not married.
You don't fit a lot of stereotypes. You don't fit.
I'm not married. I don't have any kids. I'm Mexican American, fifth generation Texan. I have a graduate degree. Mm-hmm. I don't speak any Spanish.
Ghetto.
You don't speak Spanish.
Exactly. None of us speak Spanish.
Keto.
Huh?
Yo hablo poquito. No, hablo bien.
Dude, I'm trying to learn right now. I'm having my mom text me in Spanish. I got mobile apps and stuff.
Dinner Rosetta Stoneway?
No, bro. Duolingo. So I'm trying to think. Like, I'm really trying to think. All of my friends were white. My parents moved me to the northeast side of San Antonio so that I'd get a better education, and I think it paid off. But here's what I do. I make tamales during holiday seasons. That's what I do. I sit down with the family around a table. I get shucks in my hand, masa, and I make tamales straight up. And that is something that I don't think is a bad stereotype. Like, I think
that's almost like a, see, like, that's not even,
it's just a cultural thing.
It's a tradition, more or less.
It's one of those eat beans, make tamales.
I think it's just the way, like, the question's challenging because my whole life I've rejected the concept of stereotypes.
But I think that's why
to me, stereotypes are funny because it's a non-existing thing to me. Like, it's an archaic thing that shouldn't exist anymore, but it still does. I mean, you have to be dumb. You'd have to be kind of really, like, lying to yourself to say they don't exist anymore. They do. But I've rejected them my entire life. So when I hear, like, what stereotypes, like, they just don't exist. It's
the stereotypes are given to us. We don't create the stereotypes.
You're right.
Like, so the question is almost like, do you live any of these stereotypes that supposedly are out there? To me, it's like, no, because
none at all.
Yeah.
You're not a jealous guy.
Yeah. Well,
but that's what I'm saying.
Because that's super machismo. They say Latino men are super jealous, overbearing guys.
Well,
But I'm saying, so if you want to talk about a stereotype,
because,
like,
I'm machismo, not.
But see, again, jealousy is
a human trait.
Yeah, it's a human trait. Yeah. It's not a, so that I can't comment and say, well, yeah, we fall under that category of stereotype.
Yeah.
Because, it's a stereotype. Now, I'll give you one. Like, for example, like, used to be back in the day, like the jokes, right? You watch the old movies. Hey, you know, Puerto Ricans do nothing but steal hubcaps. Mm-hmm. That's a stereotype. So to me, it's like, why do people who stole hubcaps, you know, does that mean they're guilty of that stereotype? Yeah. Hey, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That kind of, like, way out there that you hear is like, oh, fuck, you know, like, but I'll give you a more friendly one. Let's say, you know, living in New York and all that stuff, you know, Puerto Ricans and that, we love to dance, man.
Uh-huh.
You know, so. Yeah, Puerto Ricans love dancing anywhere, you know, on the street, on top of cars, on top of trees.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I'm probably guilty of that because
that's a good answer.
Yeah, you put on some
dance.
I love that. So you put on some salsa music.
I've seen you dance.
Can't stop.
And it don't matter. You don't have to be on a dance floor. You know, salsa music is like, you know, we could be talking right now on a street corner, and all of a sudden we hear some, and we're starting to feel that
moving.
You're starting to feel that beat, and that's being conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have people who, like, are so old school that right there, they'll just, with the whip, they'll just start dancing right there. You know, so in that sense.
See, I think that's a great answer. That's, you know, a perfect.
That or always having the flag. It's true.
Yeah.
And a lot of people always ask me, what are you Puerto Ricans? I get it, because, you know, it's always that waving of the flag thing.
Yeah.
It's a cultural thing.
Do you have a Puerto Rican flag in your car?
But no, that's just it. I don't, you know, but when I was living in New York, you know, obviously during the parades and the time was right to have it. Fuck yeah, we put one on the hood and I had the CD, You know, putting a CD hanging from my dashboard.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it was to show that pride.
Yeah.
But I wasn't a 24/7, like, sure. always having that to me is beyond the.
Someone has a joke. Why do Puerto Ricans put flags on the rearview mirrors of their car? So they go break into cars, they know which ones not to break into.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that would be kind of like of ID or stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, I don't want to rob a fellow Boricua. But like that's what it is. Like to your earlier point is like, you know, you knew guys that stole hubcaps, and I would say that they fall in that stereotype. If they were Puerto Rican and they were stealing hubcaps, then it falls into the stereotype.
But like just said, the challenge of the question is
to say
I fall under it, then I have to accept the fact that it's a stereotype, but I don't believe it.
Yeah. And also the thing that we're doing also is crossing stereotypes. Because stereotype and guilty, these are two words that have negative connotation. Like stereotypes, what are these stereotypes? You're guilty. I'm late. I steal. You know, like now we're putting a negative connotation to the word stereotype, which
stereotype is a negative connotation, right? Who controls that negative? That's what I'm saying. When people talk about Latinos, for example, right? I go, well, who are we talking about? We're talking about Latinos that you know, or are we talking about media Latinos? Yeah. So if you want to talk about Latinos that you see on the news every day, whether it's the border or some fire and they have these people who are not the brightest who are speaking about what, if you want to show that, as us representing Latinos, then let's talk about the media Latinos. Yeah, but if you want to talk about Latino, it's nothing like what you see on TV. See that's what, you know, that's what's mind boggling. And that's what people think, like, you know, and that's why you have these ignorant people, because all they know about us is what they see on TV.
Exactly.
Who say the dumbest thing. Like when Mark Anthony, when he was singing, you know, America the Beautiful, or God Bless America, I think it was during the All-Star game two years ago in New York City. Twitter went crazy with racist comments.
Yeah. Twitter's nuts with racist comments.
Who's this Mexican singing? Who's this wetback? Who's this fucking... Dude, the fucking guy.
We have a mariachi kid.
That poor kid had the shit he had to go through. What do you mean? Why not? Mm-hmm. You see, so again, we're talking about media Latinos. Yeah. We're talking about people are just... anyway, that's a different subject.
No, it's
people are just ignorant.
And I wanted to ask a question like that with you because I wanted to get your perspective on it. You know what I mean? Because I think it's really important that, you know, you have the Latino comic.
Right.
But are you just a comic? Or are you a comic that happens to be Latino? Is that an identifier? Is that a label? You know what I mean? And like with us, for example... Like, we're Latino, sure. You know, we kind of don't really play it too much, but at the same time, we don't deny it.
Right.
You know, we're not ashamed of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'd love fucking breakfast tacos like anybody else, but that's a regional too.
Yeah. So, you know, also the thing also, but like, that's the thing. It's a struggle for to kind of find an answer for that because, again, stereotype, negativity, and eating breakfast tacos isn't like a negative thing. And like another, some comedian that actually you probably know who it is. It's a famous one. Maybe it's Chris Rock. I don't remember. But like, the stereotype of black people like watermelon and fried chicken. And
which
of course,
delicious.
Everybody likes that shit because it's delicious. And it's like, it's not so much why is
Dave
that.
Dave Chappelle and D.L. Hughley.
It's like, why is there negative connotation to cultural cues? Like there is no negativity to making tamales like on the holiday or family, you know.
Mexicans give each other tamales in Christmas.
Yeah.
So they have something to unwrap. You ever heard that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Uncle said that joke. I'm sure this past Christmas.
It's an uncle joke, man. Racist jokes are funny. And
they are funny,
Racial jokes exist here because of these stereotypes.
Well, you know, with racial jokes, to me, it's like, if you're going to hit everybody, then that's fair game. Mm-hmm. You can't just go aim toward one. You know, back in the day.
With equal opportunity offenders is like, what we went by. Yeah,
I'll tell you what, I would have hated to be either black, Latino, back in the 70s.
Forget 70s.
In the audience, seeing a comedy show.
Forget it.
Do you know how much they were picked on and fucking, all the stereotypes? God, it would have been brutal, bro.
Yeah?
I mean, think about it. Yeah. You're like fucking, now the game has changed. Now the audience is more diversified. Mm-hmm. And now you see that little kind of uncomfortable feeling. Not that we make them uncomfortable, but they feel uncomfortable on their own. But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
this
I
is
got
like,
you.
I mean, times have changed. I always say, if you want to do a stereotype joke, if you want to call it that, at least have a message behind it.
Right.
Then I'm cool with it. Like, if you're going to come out and just say, you know, you're thieves or, you know, you don't know how to swim or you like watermelon, and what's your point?
Yeah.
You know, because then you taught me something. But if not, if you leave it there, then to me, that's so, you know, so I'll give you an example. When I was performing in for one of these social media bloggers, bro. Well, we want to get into bloggers, bro. Anyway.
Is that an internet horror story?
Well, it could have been. You know, one thing about bloggers, and God bless bloggers, bro, but the one thing is they just got one eye, you know, like their eyes on you and their hand on the keyboard.
Yeah, yeah.
Where is that? You know? They don't want to let you finish the whole thing. It's like word by word. Oh my God. He didn't say the word correctly. And they fucking tweet it. They blog it. Boom, 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 all this crap, you know? So I go into the story about when I met Obama during that Hispanic caucus conference.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I got to shake his hand, which to me was a big deal.
You know, he's president, man.
Yeah. So I shook his hand and, it was a moment. So I wrote a bit about it. I got to shake Obama's hand. I go, I couldn't believe it, you know? So I freaked out. You know, you ever, shake someone's hand who's so famous?
Yeah.
Remember when you used to go, oh my God, I'm not gonna wash his head for a whole day?
Fucking Mike Robles.
Exactly. That kind of feeling.
Yeah. Boss of Latino Cup.
Boss of Latino Cup.
You know what I'm talking about.
I had it when you came to the door.
That's what I'm talking about, see? So I'm not gonna wash my hand for like the whole day. This is the president's, you know, that kind of thing. So I said, anyway, so I kind of freaked out, right? I go, so I decided to smell my hand.
Yeah.
After I shook Obama's hand. Uh-huh. Right? I said, I couldn't believe it. It smelled like cocoa butter.
Did it really?
Yeah, yeah. I said, it smelled like cocoa butter. But here's the one that, you know, the bloggers all of a sudden, boom, 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 thought it was stereotypical.
Yeah.
I go, yeah, it smelled like cocoa butter and fried chicken. Uh-huh. Oh, doing stereotype jokes. Yeah, fried chicken, Obama, boom, 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 boom. And I said, how could you question if this man is American or not? Cocoa butter fried chicken, stop asking for his papers. That was the message I had. In other words, everybody's talking about, is he really American? Where's his paper? Where's his birth certificate? So to me was, I had the proof in my hand. I smelled it. Cocoa butter and chicken. How American is that?
He smokes Newports. He really does.
I could have gone there with the Newport.
Yeah, yeah.
See, but what they heard, see these
stereotypes.
Closed mind, they heard the stereotype. Yeah. Oh, chicken, blah, blah, blah.
So stop there,
They stopped there. They didn't keep rolling with me and go, I guess what he was trying to say.
So when we have President Obama on Public Access Podcast, and we ask him the same question, he's going to say like, oh, I use cocoa butter and smoke Newports. Great.
Yeah. let me tell you something about Robles' head. It smelled like...
Robles' head.
I remember that. Yeah, it smelled like dancing.
Yeah, it smelled like...
it smelled like dancing.
Exactly. Smelled like baby lotion and...
Well, it's
horse cock video. Good God, that's
Puerto Rican. Horse cocks.
Don't question if he's a pervert or not.
I think this is it's a good question to see what other, like all these other people say.
Other people. Wow.
Well, I'm just saying all of us aren't very diverse here at this table.
Yeah.
So Brian Powell, I guess. Are we going to say what race he or let's just say
stereotype. Let's see if he's racist listeners.
Brian Powell, being an upper, he just flat out says, being an upper middle class spoiled privileged piece of crap who has no concept of real world economics.
Yep.
Upper
you
middle
can
class
tell you are spoiled. When you can self deprecate yourself like that and say, you know what, I'm a piece of shit, but hey, I got money, man. My parents are
Do you want to guess what race that guy is?
Yeah. White guy that self deprecates. Yeah.
Travis K says, I'm guilty of being that white guy who can't dance.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it isn't that I can't dance. I just don't like to do so. I can jump though, like really high. So Shaggy from Puto Slam, he says mayonnaise. He's guilty of mayonnaise.
That's false in that fucking fried chicken. That mayonnaise is fucking awesome.
Mayonnaise is good.
I don't like mayonnaise. Really? Is there every
white guys like mayonnaise?
Ever seen Soul Brother with Eddie Griffin? Okay. Yeah, he becomes this white dude, this kind of Oreo, and more mayonnaise, please. Like, it's some dumbest shit. Yeah. But it makes
That's
me
one
laugh.
Of the stereotypes.
Yeah.
Alfie Chavez.
Alfie!
Says, grabbing the Hennessy when black people walk into my bar. Good gosh. And so serving their drinks as close to the tip jar as possible.
It's his stereotype.
Now, you see what he said about tips. See, that's another one. Are we guilty of tipping?
I'm a fantastic tipper.
I'm a great tipper.
I've spoken to a lot of servers in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
Yeah.
We're bad tippers.
San Antonio's bad tippers.
Bad tippers. So am I.
Terrible.
Are we guilty of that stereotype?
Absolutely. Really? It is a stereotype.
Wow. Felicia Sandoval says, I've blessed my kid with a huevo and a little saint candle because someone gave him ojo.
Yeah.
That up.
Bless them with huevo, like tequila?
No, huevo.
Huevo.
Bless
them with a huevo.
Huevo.
Curtis Allen de Dios says, last name tattooed on my stomach.
Yeah, sure, it
helps hide some of the stretch marks, too. So I'm fat. That's a stereotypical thing, too, right? That's what he says. Tommy Munoz says, my set. So his entire comedy set is stereotypical. Ross Carter just says, kale. He eats kale.
Hey, man, kale's all right when you put the right shit on it.
Yeah, kale Satan.
Ian McIntosh says, hipster kid with a blog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Ray says, I'm really well endowed, like really well. But Curtis Allen DeDios already knows that. Hashtag purple rain.
Hashtag horsecock.
Hashtag he means his...
He says really well endowed, then hashtag purple rain.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's an inside joke. I was going to say, it's just hashtag trust fund. That's what he means by endowed, by his endowment, you fuck.
Okay.
That is a stereotype trust fund, baby.
Carlos Castro says, I took a job only 99% of the population won't or can't do.
Dang.
As a professional killer. Alfred Perez says, I love Big Red and Barbacoa on Sundays.
That's right.
It's just a thing.
It's just food.
What's wrong with that, man?
Nothing wrong.
Samantha Lyons Rake says, I'm a chubby white girl who loves me some Nutella. And I have all the rhythm of a corpse. White girls love Nutella.
Oh, God.
And all the rhythm of a corpse.
Wow, that's beautifully said. Brandy Dunnigan, a.k.a. Handy Tugigan, says, I grew up in a trailer, and we had at least 10 random mutts all the time, and I'm pretty sure one of our neighbors made meth.
There it is.
I love it.
James Well says, I'm a white, and I'm guilty of imperialism. Ooh, heavy. Yeah. Joey McCormick says, I just feel more entitled and that I'm better than everyone.
Yeah.
Hashtag Coors Light.
Yeah, that's stereotypical for a douchebag.
Yeah, he is.
He's like your average douchebag.
God damn it.
And Thean Wood says, I live close to my parents under the sweet tyrannical rule of my tiny Filipino mother, and I love it.
Yeah.
If I hadn't gotten married, I'd probably still live at home. Asian kids unite.
There it is. So good answers. A lot of white people answers.
They let that white guilt, dude. They're all comfortable with that white guilt. Let it out.
Whatever you call it, in every race, every group, there's some kind of like so-called stereotype.
But it's the white guilt that, like, you know, we're like, no, we refuse to, because I refuse to too. Like, I make it a point not to be a jealous guy. I make it a point not to be an overbearing, you know, dad or whatever. Here's another stereotype I fall into. I will beat someone's ass over my sisters. That is, I think, a stereotype about, you know, the Latino brother that's gonna fucking, you know, world.
So,
brother,
you know what? Dude. But that's so with Italians.
Remember the Godfather?
Yeah, remember Sonny? How did he lose his life?
I am fucking Sonny.
He protected his sister. Yeah. So what's the message here? What's the moral? Don't protect your sister, bro.
Don't cause your life. You get shot.
Your sister take the fucking beating.
Yeah.
And you get to live, bro.
Hey, I fucked this dude up at a 7 Mary 3 concert. You know what I'm saying?
What remember me?
It got cumbersome real quick.
Yeah? What happened?
This dude fucking grabs my sister. She's jamming out to this shitty band because they're opening up for some other shitty band.
Was this in Austin or
something? This is in San Antonio at Sunken Gardens. And she's dancing, right? Just having a good time. And this dude just grabs her by her waist and starts kind of grinding on her.
So
I'm not a violent guy, Mike. I'm actually kind of a pussy. Okay. Like, if we were to hang out, I'd be like, oh, no, fight. No, let's get out of here. Right? But when it comes to my sister and my kids, I grab this dude by his head, I guess, like that, like the eye socket, kind of like there.
And you bowling balled him, and
by his belt loop, and I threw him into these metal chairs that were in front of us, and he like freaked out, and then I pushed him in his face, and he walked away, and then my sister kind of looked and then continued dancing.
Yeah,
so
it's fucking sad. Tony Montana finds his sister in the restroom doing coke.
Gina, dude.
Gina,
you want to fuck me, Tony? Like, no,
I don't.
I'm Latino. So yeah, man, parenting, you know.
Well, you know, again, you know, I don't know, man. But you're right. You're going to protect your sister. You're going to protect your family.
There's no stereotype about it.
Yeah.
Well, this This week's edition of Hey, That's Not Funny. That's my segment. I talk about not funny things like psychology issues. I talk about science and research, politics, whatnot. Today, we're talking about a study that came out of Ohio State University that talks about employees who had hostile bosses were better off on several measures if they returned the hostility. So what they did was they gave a bunch of employees, over 300 employees in different jobs, surveys saying, how hostile is your boss? Are they upset at you? How do they react to you? And if so, how do you react back? They all filled them out. A year later, they actually gave these surveys again saying, how are you guys doing at your job? It turned out the ones that initially at the beginning of the study said they had hostile bosses and they were both hostile back. They talked back. They sometimes didn't listen to them. They just were aggressive with them. They actually were better off on their job. They enjoyed their job more. The boss treated them better in the long run.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting study that they did, you know. Quote here is, they say there is a norm of reciprocity in our society. We have respect for someone who fights back, who doesn't just sit back and take abuse. Having the respect of coworkers may help employees feel more committed to their organization and happy about their job. So it's an interesting thing of like,
if you got it. Early on though.
Early on, yeah.
And this doesn't work in relationships, I'll tell you that.
No.
God, no. Fuck, no.
Trust, brother.
There's respect. Why are you arguing with me? It's respect.
Respect. I want to enjoy this relationship. No.
So it's a really cool, really cool study where they're, you know, they're putting some data behind this question. So I posed the question, have you ever had a mean boss? And if so, you were mean back. I've been lucky where I haven't actually had a mean boss. I've had some really fun, great bosses, but I'm going to apply this to having a professor, at a university. Well, it's actually at SAC. I'm going to talk about Onderdonk, who you guys know.
Yeah. Onderdonk's a good guy.
Yeah. Onderdonk was, he's kind of a jerk. Like, he's kind of,
he's a good jerk.
He's a ball buster.
But I would always
go. So you guys still doing fart jam?
So we've all had him. We've all had this professor. Like I would always talk back. I would always be a jerk and a dick right back to him. From the first class that I ever had, I wasn't. Yeah, exactly. He would think it's funny. Like nobody else in the class would ever do that. And of course, by the end of the semester, like we had bonded. Like he really liked, and even in other further classes, and now to this day, like he's a freaking cool guy. Like he remembers. Remembers me because it's one of those things to where I wasn't just a kid that was sitting there in his class taking his crap, taking his hostility. I would totally give it right back. So that's mine. It's real simple. Like I said, I've been lucky to not have a mean boss. What are your guys'?
I'm going to go next because I have a really bad problem with authority.
All right.
I always have. And I'm not one of those anti-cop guys. I'm opposite. Like, cops have guns. They're going to fucking kill me. But I have never done well with teachers or principals, especially the machismo guys. Again, kind of going back to the stereotype. I had real machismo uncles, and I just fucking hate that shit. I always have. So you know, when I would have a boss that was, you know, belittling in any way, I would snap back even worse where, you know, hey, pick up that fucking thing. And I would make more of a mess and go, you fucking clean it up.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times it would just result in negativity. My favorite story that I've told a few times is, you know, working at a call center, back in the day, you get a lot of different people. And a lot of the bosses at call centers is very much like Office Space. But doing it in San Antonio in sales especially, they get very jockey, very kind of sports analogy. Hey, big dog, you know, it's like the Super Bowl, man. You just got inches to go. And if you want to get that extra inch, you know, you really got to be on fire. I'm like, I'm fucking selling bank account. What the fuck are you talking about? Which is, you failed fucking athlete. We were at a goddamn call center, man. I enjoy the job, but the one thing about working at a call center that I hate was that you were, every second was monitored. Every single second. So again, relating to the previous topic, I'm not the most punctual guy. And to me, if you're that hourly, by the minute, dude, the minute, the way it worked, let's say your shift starts at 8:30 in the morning. Right. They gave you 5 minutes off the phones, not taking calls, to start your computer, you know, all that sort of stuff. So if you weren't what's called inbound, ready to take a call by 8:36,
you were late. Yeah. Right? That's just how it worked, right? And some bosses were more lenient than others, and really it boils down to this. If an employee shows up at 8:40 and you're supposed to be there till 5 o'clock, well, now you got to be there till 5:10.
Yeah.
That's what the cool bosses do. It's really not that big of a
deal.
Makes
sense.
So I had a boss who was a dick, and I get there at, you know, 8:38 or whatever, right? So I'm logging in and, you know, getting my stuff ready. Didn't think it was a big deal. He turns to me and, again, butts in the seats, phone call open is the most important thing to these people because every call they come in is money. And customers waiting because we're customers. We don't like waiting on the phone. So anybody that's not on the phone is making customers wait longer, right? So I get it. So it's 8:38. I'm ready to log in. He peeks out of his cubicle and he's like, "Hey, Larry, you're 8 minutes late. I got to put you as tardy." And I'm like, "I'm 3 minutes late. I have till 8:35. Right? He goes, "No, I'm going to have to get you a tardy." And I go, "Okay, do you want anything from McDonald's?"
Nice. If you're going to be late.
And then he was like, "Excuse me?" I go, I can have up to 4 hours tardy. I'm just going to go run some errands real quick. If you're going to get me late, I haven't had breakfast. And when you work at a call center, you have a team of people that report to this guy and they're all around you. And I hear a bunch of stuff like that. And he's like, "Are you serious?" I go,
"That's freaking brilliant."
I go, "I'm not going to take a tardy for 8 minutes, dude."
Exactly.
So mark me tardy, dude. That's fine. I'm going to go run some errands.
Noon.
I'm going to be back at I have fucking unplanned time, dude. I'm still going to get paid for it.
Hell yeah.
Right. And then he's like, "Well, look, can you stay past, you know?" I go, "Of course I can. That was the plan." And then he calls me and you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that, man. And I kind of called him out. And after that, things were fucking
great.
Yeah,
dude. Absolutely. Yeah.
Just show some backbone.
Yeah.
And they'll nice.
Yeah. So yeah. And then after that, he respected me and kind of worked with me and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And now me and him are.
Well, then he's probably scared you're not going to show him up in front of everybody again.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that wasn't good for him. Like, "Oh, well."
Show
it happen again.
My favorite things I've ever done.
No, that's really cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. For me, it's like the I've never really had a mean boss, but it's always a boss that it tends to ask for something that's, like to me, glaringly dangerous or something.
Oh, crap.
That's
okay.
Just like the analogy I've made this analogy twice to two different bosses. I was like, picture you're riding on a boat and your captain is driving this boat and you're like, "Hey, captain, the boat's on fire, but we're still driving in this direction. Should I put the boat fire out?" And you're like, "No, let's go do this thing." The obvious thing, the human nature thing, is to go, "Fuck the captain. I'm putting this fire out. I want to fucking live." That's right. Like the analogy I make to a boss. When I see something glaringly.
F the captain.
Fuck the captain.
When I see something so glaringly wrong, like a giant fire on a boat and we're all on it. And if I don't fix it, we're all going to sink. I'm going to put the fire out regardless of what you're going to say.
Because I'm a good employee and I'm doing what's best for the boat.
That's
good sailor.
Yeah, it's a good sailor.
Yeah.
Now, so it's little mentions like that with different bosses, and they're not mean. They just don't see, like, they kind of see it as, "Well, you're kind of being aggressive." I'm like, "Well, there's a fucking fire on this boat." That's the analogy I'm trying to make. So you got to understand why.
Diamond Shamrock. There's no boats.
Why I'm so aggressive about this thing.
Diamond Shamrock.
This is the Best Buy, Jess.
We're on a boat. So there's this one. So when there's resistance, there's only been a few times when there's been resistance. And the to go back to the analogy is like, "No, we're sailing. Fuck it. The boat's on fire. We're going to keep on sailing. Aye, aye, captain. Boat's on fire. We're all going down in flames." That's the further up analogy when, "Oh, you want to keep pressing on and not fix this problem. All right, you got it. Boat's on fire. Let's do this." So the instance, because that's my thing, out of spite, I want to see the boat sink.
Yeah.
Out of spite.
I got it.
So there was one time I was working at Best Buy, and this was during the holiday season. And so I was a merchandiser, and there was one Black Friday. Like, it wasn't Black Friday, but it was around that shopping Christmas era. And the big thing was cheap DVD players.
Right.
DVD players were like, oh, this was like the first time DVD players were like, holy shit, $100, which was Holy fuck! Like, yeah. People just lose their fucking mind.
I bought one.
It was 92, right?
Right.
Rugged Raw.
And so, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these DVD players. Now, in Best Buy, when you walked in, when you used to walk in, there was like this seemingly, it was like this, like, line of paint, and it kind of looked like, oh, that's like some kind of like trim, like a decorative trim all around. Well, it was multipurpose. The line is actually like, okay, not only is that, okay, that's decorative paint, that's a line to say, don't stack anything higher than that line. Yeah. If you stack anything higher than that, that's a hazard.
Yeah.
That's the rule we follow. Now, this manager at the time, he was a manager bypassing my merchandising manager. He's like, I don't care. We have to get all the merchandise out of the warehouse because merchandising keeps going in. Yeah. So we have to stack those DVDs tire, so this is Boat on Fire. I'm like, but if we stack them higher, they are going to collapse and fall on people. I don't care. We gotta stack them. And now here's the thing: when you get on, you weren't just on a ladder stacking DVDs. Now it got higher where they had these things called Big Joes. They're mechanical lifts.
Yeah, yeah.
So you lazy as lifts up. The lift only goes so high, and you can only stack so many people. And I'm 5'5", so I can only stack so many. The DVDs were higher than me, higher on top of this thing, and they're like, get on the chain, stand on top of that. And I shout down, I was like, fuck you. I don't care if I get fired, but fuck you. That's horrible. I'm going to stack them as high as I can, but I am not standing on this chain.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Manager,
the chain that's like holding you from falling out.
When you're up there, you're like on a belt. Yeah, they have a harness thing, and then there's this actual chain that prevents you from falling over.
They were suggesting to stand
on top of the chains like some kind of like circus clown
for DVD players.
And my response, looking down, fuck you.
God, I wish I was there.
Because
I
would've
left. Those are both great. Like, I wish I was around both of you.
Because you're also surrounded by people who've been up since like 3 o'clock in the morning. And now it's like almost 8 o'clock and it's nonstop stocking.
Yeah.
And people are sweating and dirty. And I'm surrounded by people who have the same mentality and they're thinking the same thing. And like, this manager's like, we gotta stack these things. Fuck you. And I was like, I'm gonna stack them as high as I can. And that's it. That's as high as they're gonna go. And these DVD players, they're buckling. Buckling. Yeah, you can see them. It's like, it's like fucking, it's ready to fall.
It's a mirage.
Oh, real quick,
Mike, no one says fuck you better than Jess, by the way. No,
he got passion behind
it. He does. It's real.
With a bully or with a boss. Please continue.
So this thing swing, and that was my whole thing. Before it got that high, I kept on it. We can't stack them that high. We need to stack them on the floor. We need to make displays. We can put a sign on it. They're going to go really fast. That way we don't have to get on top of the ladder, bring them down. They're already down. No, we got to stack them really high. Yeah, aye, aye, Captain. Boat's on fire. Raising up, stacking them high.
Boat's on fire. That boat on fire shit is hilarious.
And so the
boat's on fire.
The store's open. Customers are coming in. Big Joe's lifted up. Still stacking DVDs. Still.
And how's the boat?
Customers are coming in now.
Customers are coming in.
And how's the boat?
It's burning. You can smell flames.
It's burning.
I can take a roasted half chicken and fucking cook it over this fucking fire all swimming on a boat.
Yeah. Fish are cooking.
Yeah.
The fish are jumping in and cooking, Mike.
You got some fried fish.
Yeah.
All right.
And so the inevitable, and that was my whole thing. I was like, yeah, I'm going to keep on stacking DVDs. It's flowing. I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to keep on putting them on. I
just
want to
know, did the boat finally just burn down?
The boat sank. The boat sank because not just one, not two, the entire towers of DVD players collapsed. And I did the whole classic, like, heads up, like, here it comes. And there was this tower of DVDs that showered. And there was like two customers that, like, looked up and ran, and they dodged a bullet.
Oh, thank goodness.
And one dude got nicked in the shoulder. I mean, granted, it's really high up, but it's like one of those like small DVDs, so it hit him in the shoulder.
Dude, I don't care.
That guy did pull aside, and they were like, oh, like, you know, you get to sign this thing no matter what.
Did you have a name for this boat?
No.
Best Buy.
Yeah, Best Buy. SS,
the Best Boat.
The SS Buy. I thought
he was going to call it the Fuck You Boat.
So that's one of those things. Like, to me, that was that classic thing. I was like, cool. And then, like, my in spite thing is I came down and I got more DVDs and I lifted back up to start stacking them again.
The boat has risen.
Not the ones.
What a good employee right there.
But not the ones that fell. The other ones that are next to them that were still need to go higher. So I stopped going higher. So those had nowhere to support. And those started to buckle. And they're like, no, stop ducking. Oh, I can stop.
Stack it up.
Oh, now I can't.
Okay, cool. I'll come down then.
Well played.
And
yes.
So that, like, it's not so much that he was mean. He just didn't see that the boat was on fire.
So if you're a boss and you're listening and you have an employee that's very adamant about not doing something because of they know their job and you've never done your job, fuck you.
Yeah.
See, I want to piggyback off that. See, I had, you know, the only story that comes to mind is I never had a boss that was mean, but to have a boss, though, that was just stupid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking to yourself, how the fuck did they get this position? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, they're fucking idiots. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yet they decide on, yes, you can have this day off.
Yeah.
Yes, you can go on vacation this week. In other words, you decide, you know, my fucking freedom is that job, and you're a fucking idiot.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked at a corporate travel agency. Mm-hmm. This goes back to New York, right? So as I'm there, they kept giving me files of the ones that the boss kept screwing up.
Oh, wow.
So not only did I have my work, but I also had a ton cleaning of files up on my desk to fix the shit of a she. You know, that I had to fix up and clean up her shit.
Right.
You see, so now I'm like doing two kind of people's jobs kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I had a big problem with that. So I would just never listen to her. So the owner is trying to convince me, you know, you ever been in the military? I don't know why. She goes, you got to learn how to take orders, Mike. I go, yeah, but she's the wrong commander, man. You know?
She's not the captain.
How'd you get that gig and shit? And this,
yeah.
Yeah. So, and so you see her taking long lunches and I'm saying, this is bullshit. So, you know, long story short, I wouldn't say I argued back, you know, mm-hmm. to get the respect. Sometimes you gotta get even.
Yeah.
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 So one nice friendly day, I bring her, you know, a nice cup of some Joe, you know, with some little X-Lax in it.
Yeah.
No. Went
there.
What?
Fuck yeah, I went there. Because that's old school, bro. That's what people used to do back in the day.
Yeah, I like it.
What's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to shit themselves.
Well, sure enough, by 12 noon, she had to take the rest of the day off.
Old school.
Yeah.
That is old school. Oh, that must have been sweet.
Oh, no, it was fucking a joy, but...
That was lovely. That's tender.
I don't recommend it, but that would be my beef when you're in a job, right, where you just know your shit so much better than the person in charge, and then you're thinking, like, not only that, they're making like maybe double your fucking salary.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They got those sweet long lunches, they got those business accounts, and I'm cleaning up your shit.
Mm-hmm.
Woo. So So long after that, I was gone, man. I got this. How long can you put up with that shit like that?
Wow.
No, that's
for you.
To me, that's more frustrating than a mean boss.
Is a stupid
is
one?
An incompetent one that makes more money than you, that like, oh, that you're like, how did you get that?
You would think, why someone smart enough, at least whoever owns this thing, would go, why am I keeping her? She keeps fucking up.
Exactly.
I like her.
She's the manager.
Was she cute?
Huh? But see, that's the whole thing. You know, blue eyes, like little golden kind of locky kind of hair.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, she served as the face, if you will.
Got it.
The image, but
fucking as far idiot. As
the but, content, nada, bro.
And she probably also didn't give a shit on top of that.
Yeah.
You see,
that's
what I'm saying. I think she was, if you were smart, bro, you'd give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a fucking idiot, I don't even think she realized.
Exactly.
I don't think she gave a shit because I don't think she was smart enough to
give a shit.
Everything was like normal, man. You know, to her it was like, I don't even think she knew I was fixing up her shit.
Yeah.
Just oblivious, huh?
Like, she's like, oh, I'm really good at my job.
Like, you realize why half the shit on my desk is because of your shit.
Oh, see, that's...
I don't think she even fucking realized that.
Wow.
That's why I had to go old school. I had to go X-Lax, bro.
Yeah, good. Good.
Well, I love it.
What does Facebook say?
Brian Powell says, his boss, she hired her best friend who had never even worked in a smoothie shop before.
You sure it's not like a fucking apply to the stereotype fucking
question? No. She had hired her friend who had never even worked in a smoothie shop before for the assistant manager position I was hinting at getting for a while. So after I trained him for the job I was supposed to have, I walked out on a busy Saturday and let him deal with it.
That's what I'm saying. You see, here's a dude, right, who's qualified to be the manager or the supervisor. Training. And they give it to some clown.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Yeah. X-Lax is the way to go.
Well, he set him up for failure by leaving him on a busy Saturday.
Yeah, that's nice.
Make those.
You're the manager now. You're the manager.
Love it.
Manage.
Love it.
Wow.
Ashley Rogers says yes and yes. Travis K says, I've had a couple of difficult bosses and treated others and me like crap because I'm relatively a nutless nice guy. Aw, Travis.
Oh, man.
I was never mean back. That, and I feel that doing my best job is what counts. A-holes will get their penance one way or another. See, that's tough,
D-fact
man.
Ways. I like that.
See?
Karma, dude.
Like, he's like, I'm just going to do my job. So he's, you know, that's tough. Sometimes you got to fight back, Travis.
Yeah.
Give him X-Lax. Give him X-Lax.
Yeah. It's harmless. It's harmless.
It is. Yeah.
It tastes like chocolate. It's delicious. Yeah. It's a beautiful
thing. It tastes like chocolate.
It's experimental.
Coffee crisps.
If you like diarrhea, you'll love coffee crisp.
I don't know why that's delicious.
We would have been shitting by now, man.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No.
What do we eat for dinner?
Yeah.
Tommy Munoz says, I had a boss who was a douche. He didn't like giving me off days for an acting gig. And or hungover days. So I gave his boss, the owner, Spurs stuff because he worked for the Spurs. That owner then let me do whatever. So I had the owner in my back pocket, which pissed off the douche boss. Nice. He overstepped the...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. That helps.
That's a good tactic there, Tommy. Yeah. Good tactic.
Another way to deal with an aggressive boss. Rather than fight back, you got to use the charming technique sometimes.
Yeah.
A little compliment.
And with their boss.
Yeah.
And just be like, hey, man, you know what? You know, Stacey's a fucking bitch. We know that.
Yeah, she is a bitch, but she got tits right now. All right, man. Here's a little foam Spurs number one.
Yeah, what did you give him, Tommy? Ross Carter said, I worked in an appliance store and the owner was a complete dick to me as well as his wife, who was the bookkeeper. He had a stupid mustache too, but made me dry shave if I came in with even a hint of stubble. Oh, dry shave.
Fuck that.
Dude, that's dry shave.
Shave with no water.
Like if you told Jess to go shave, give him a razor, but he doesn't have soap. He doesn't have anything. So just shave right there. Yeah, that's awful.
X-Lax, bro.
X-Lax. So he goes, I got back at him by quitting 2 weeks before this big vacation he had planned. I was going to cover the shop while he was gone, and so he had to cancel it.
Nice.
Way to fight back. Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Justin Cooper said, I was once fired for bogus reasons, so when I left, I called her a slut. The truth, he puts in parentheses, and threw my keys to the store on the roof with with middle fingers raised high, raised higher than the American flag on 4th of July.
Yeah. Find someone else to make your fucking smoothies.
He's the boss.
Too bad my house keys were on the same key.
Yeah.
Didn't think it through. He's like going back home. Oh, crap.
Get the ladder. Get the ladder. Yeah.
Get that Big Joe.
Michael Ray put, I'm the captain now.
Yeah.
Gabriel Diaz says yes and no. He puts, well, in my mind, I have. Alfred Perez says yes, a monster of a woman. And she was so wrong in firing me, she quit after she did it because it was against the policy the way she did it. No, I was never mean back. I was in no position to be able to, but I would have if I could have. And then Mindy Starr says, I had a boss once grab me by the face and say, smile. You set the tone for everything here.
Let me guess, SeaWorld.
Yo,
oh shit.
Grabbed him by the face and said, smile. The kitties are around.
She just gave her a fish.
But she says, I went into a job doing independent contract from that day until recently. So she just quit the job.
Touch my face.
Grab the face. What did the boss tell her when she grabbed the face?
Smile. You set the tone for everything.
I would have headbutted that motherfucker.
Point, right?
So, yeah. Or like Applebee's.
Just like a creepy boss, because she also is a blonde girl.
Yeah.
She probably worked at a travel agency in New York. And
I wanted to ask, what type of field was this? You don't have to
That also some context.
Smile. You set the tone. I mean,
it's like I
was a model.
Exactly. Yeah, that would help if you're a model.
I was a fashion model.
Yeah,
I was a tooth fashion model. I had really good teeth.
The photographers,
right?
It was for Colgate.
Not if she was.
What would you do if your employee just grabbed you by your face?
I'd headbutt him
and said, "Smile."
I would push your hand away and say, "Don't fucking touch me."
Yeah, that's the thing. Like when your boss or employees crosses that line, that's where like anything you do is justified. Yeah. Like that's why like on top of that thing, yelling down "fuck you" to a manager is justified because he's asking you to.
Let's say your manager grabbed you by the face and said, "Oh, do it
now!" And fuck you. He gets a "fuck you." He gets a "fuck you" in the hand. And I don't know. I'm not physical either, but definitely,
I push his hand away and go, "If you ever do that again, I'm going to break your arm."
You know what they call me on the internet? Death by horse cock.
And he touches your face again. He's like, "I know."
Yeah.
So with that said, thanks for everybody answering. Hostile bosses and stuff. That's not funny.
That's definitely not funny.
Wow. So Mike Robles, local comedy jam, comedic legend.
Boss of Latino comedy.
Boss of Latino comedy.
Not the Godfather, but the boss.
But the boss. I don't know if you were aware of this.
Agree on that.
But Public Access is an educational podcast. And we always put our guests on the spot and ask them, what did you come to know? What made you come to learn something from this podcast? So mull it over. We're going to ask each other what we came to know. Jess, what did you come to know?
So many great things we came to know. And I'm not going to take the obvious ones because they're just, there's great nuggets. But one thing I'm going to add to my repertoire of things, I guess, to say is to add Manny Pacquiao as like the cultural reference point as being the best of something that Manny Pacquiao has nothing to be related to. He's the Manny Pacquiao of making banh mi or whatever the
he's
shit.
He's the Manny Pacquiao of boxing.
Exactly. So instead of he's the Michael Jordan of blah.
It's the Manny Pacquiao.
He's the Manny Pacquiao of.
Yeah, like right now LeBron James is the Michael Jordan of basketball.
Right.
Or he's the Manny Pacquiao.
He's the Manny Pacquiao of basketball. Basketball, yeah, exactly.
The thing that I learned today is that if Jess, at the age of 19, lived in an apartment, he would be plowing through internet hoes left and right.
Yep.
I think that is the thing that I learned. And if he was single right now, he'd be plowing through single moms left and right.
Yeah.
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 What I came to know is that Mike Robles doesn't grasp couch surfing.
He doesn't grasp cultural courtesy.
It is not in his mindset to allow someone just to gas cash your ass, right? No one stays for free. No one serves for
like,
free.
You're talking about, like, you know, giving permission to someone to squat in your house. Like, squatters. Yeah.
And being from New York, I can see why that's not even a fucking option.
Not even an option, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wouldn't even let somebody sleep out in my fucking front yard, bro.
And you can meet international superstars on MySpace. Like, holy shit.
Once upon a time. I don't know if...
I bet you if I MySpace Brittany... Well, not Brittany Murphy. If I bet you...
Fuck, it may be that magical. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. I was going to say Brittany Murphy. Dead. She's dead as fuck. If I MySpace Good Charlotte...
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Because
I went random, random went the dead route for some reason. If I message fucking Tay Diggs tomorrow, Tay Diggs is going to be like, "What's up, Larry? Can I be a guest on your podcast?" And you know what I'd respond?
Cool.
Oh, man. Having Tay Diggs on would be pretty fucking awesome.
It was a Mike Robles, man. What did you come to know?
I had no idea, man, that there was that much filth on the internet.
Oh, seriously.
That's 90%
of the internet. If someone said the internet filth, you're thinking, okay, you got to be talking about porn. That's the only filth that I honestly thought exists on the internet.
No.
But after hearing you, Larry.
There's so much.
That Jess or not.
Regan,
Regan here.
I'm an open book, my friend.
I was like, God damn. And I haven't even seen them, and I got images in my head
You know... To that point, Mike, it's I didn't know that stuff existed in the world before the internet.
Right?
You know what I mean?
You didn't even know that was a thing.
I didn't even know. Yeah. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I just like you today. Yeah. Here we are, you know, 2015. I had no idea that you could find that stuff on the internet.
Yeah.
Why the hell would anybody want to go and check
we had a
out?
Game. We had a game, Mike, when we would do these podcasts live, where we would basically play Google Roulette.
Yeah.
And we would just Google just random shit. just a, like a random like a
right.
It's like a Mad Libs internet
a Mad Libs internet game. We were just like, okay, what are we gonna pull up for the Google search of what was it?
Tits and Giggles.
Tits and Giggles. See if we find Tits and Giggles, and there would be titsandgiggles.com.
Yeah,
you know, and it was just tits and chicks laughing. Like the internet is full of anything random. It's a horrible place that I wish, was free.
Yeah, gunsandthumbs.com.
Well, I'm glad, bro. I appreciate the education on that, man. Yeah. But now I'm even more aware now not to come across that stuff.
Exactly. Yes. Watch what you Google. Like,
don't Google bears playing with each other without the safe search on Google. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm going to keep it down simple. I'm just going to Google bears.
Even then.
Anything else, you know, could trigger off, you know.
No, even then.
You know.
You'll see two guys that look like Jess hugging.
Yeah. But you know what? Though, I don't know why. I don't really Google search much.
Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Stay away from
it. You know what you want to, where.
And I know where to go get it.
Where to go get it.
Pretty much.
That's good.
Yeah. Like IKEA. Good. Then you get locked in, you know, so. Locked out, you get one of those screens, you know. Yeah, but that, I would say that's what I learned mostly today. I didn't know it was that much.
Bad. Oh man!
It's, and even, here's the thing: it's Times Square before Giuliani cleaned it up,
and it's even worse.
Oh.
Yeah, there's shit that I'm probably
sure there's stuff that's even
because I'm not looking for
exactly.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a scary place. Yeah, scary place.
But I mean, from Japanese game shows, I mean, I used to watch them, you know, but not the way the ones you're describing.
But I didn't mean to watch that. That was the problem with Kazaa.
That's the internet.
Because it's the internet. It's like, what's this video? Oh, that girl's cute. She's giggling. Oh, it's a game show. Let's see what that shit in her hand.
Yeah. Rick rolling you with that.
Yeah, shit in the hand. Someone needs shit and you catch it. The horse cock thing.
Yeah. That's thanks to Joe Rogan.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And where do I go with that information?
To nowhere, to the depths of your mind. You talk to Deepak to get him to teach you how to recess it.
Oh no, I can go with the depths of the mind and do it, but I choose not to.
There it is.
Yeah, you know,
choose not to.
Huh? There it is.
Mike, once again, we can't thank you enough for doing the
podcast. It was a pleasure.
It was an absolute blast. Hope you come back if you want to push anything, not just in San Antonio, please. You have a seat here whenever you'd like.
That. Yeah. February 6th, I would just want to remind people, February 6th,
at the Blind Tiger Comedy.
Blind Tiger, 10 o'clock. You go to my website, MikeRobles.com.
That's right.
Get tickets there. Check it out. Man, this was great. This was, and I got to know you guys a lot better now on a different level. Yeah.
So, guys, follow Mike Robles on Twitter, friend him on Facebook, and you know what? Fucking friend him on MySpace.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Resurrect that MySpace account.
I'm on MySpace, but I haven't been there in years.
Neither. None of
How
us
How many
have.
Messages from Deepak Chopra have you missed?
He's like, Mike, where you at, buddy? Why don't you respond to me anymore?
Luckily, I have his personal email.
Yeah. Okay. Mike, where you be? And it's 6 hours later. Cool.
All right, man. I'll message you later.
Yeah, you've been on his top eight for like fucking 6 years now.
I wouldn't even know where to begin with MySpace.
You know what's great about MySpace now? They have an app for it, and you can log in with your Facebook. Yep. So who won that war? Who won that war?
That's awesome.
So, Mike, thank you very much. Jess, any news?
No news so much. We're working hard on some new stuff, and this is going to be an awesome year for us. We have some really we're working hard on some really cool stuff. Live shows, movie shorts, some other cool things. You will hear about it here on the podcast. But for older adventures of public access, you want to go to comediaagogo.com. And of course, thanks for listening to us at oneofus.net. Highly appreciate it. Thanks for following us at Twitter at comediaagogo, hashtag public access, and for answering our questions on our public access Happy Campers page, where you can, you know, if you are not a member,
chime in.
We love to hear your answers, and we like to hear your input. It's lots of good stories, lots of good laughs. Thanks a bunch.
Shout out to Handy Tugakin, a.k.a. Brandy Dunnigan, and her new podcast, Candy Cigarettes. Give that a listen. I was featured in their second episode talking about a really fun experience with drugs. It's a different take. It's 15 minutes worth every second. It's really, really cool. Also, don't forget, at the Blind Tiger, February 6th, like Mike said, Mike Robles will be headlining.
You'll be there.
And yes, I will be there. I will
will be doing some time as well. Also at the Blind Tiger on February 20th, Jay Wycotton will be recording his CD, guys. He's going to have shows at 8 and 10 o'clock, so make sure you go to one of those. I will be opening for him at the 10 o'clock show. But come anyway, guys. It's a lot of fun, and every Friday at midnight, we have our free Blind Tiger showcase of all the best comedians from not just San Antonio, not just Austin, not just Houston, but traveling comedians from all over the country, and a lot of big names like Mike come in and do some time. So if you're a fan of comedy, definitely go to the Blind Tiger Comedy Club every Friday night at midnight. So again, thank you, Mike, for joining.
Thanks a ton.
Thanks everyone for participating.
Great to be here.
And we appreciate you listening, and let your friends know about Comedigogo's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we'll fuck you later.